happened back in the Obama administration in 2009 was that they put forward this regulation called the endangerment finding. Mm. Now, a lot of people out there listening, they might not know what the endangerment finding is. If you were asked congressional Democrats to describe what it is, the left would say that it means that carbon dioxide is a pollutant, carbon dioxide is an endangerment to human health. Mm-hmm. They might say methane is a pollutant, methane is an endangerment to human health. And that's an oversimplified, I would say, inaccurate way to describe it. The way they did this was following a Supreme Court case in Massachusetts versus EPA. And the Obama administration said that carbon dioxide, when mixed with a bunch of other well-mixed gases, the greenhouse gases, that it contributes to climate change. How much? They don't say. It's more than zero. And they say that climate change endangers human health.
Mm-hmm.
So because of these different mental leaps, and by the way, when it's carbon dioxide mixed with all these well-mixed gases, they were only looking at mobile sources like vehicles. But a bunch of those greenhouse gases aren't even emitted from vehicles. Now, why does all of this matter? Like, right out of the gate here, we're getting very wonky on like what this regulation means. Well, then there were all sorts of different vehicle regulations that followed.
So this is like the endangerment finding in and of itself is the hub to the spoke of the left's environmental agenda, yep. Essentially.
So this has been referred to as basically driving a dagger into the heart of the climate change religion. Mm-hmm. Like there are people who care. I mean, most Americans, we care about the environment. We want clean air, land, and water. Conservatives love the environment, want to be good stewards of the environment. There are people who then, in the name of climate change, are willing to bankrupt the country.
Yep.
In the name of environmental justice, they will get tens of billions of dollars appropriated to their friends rather than actually remediating environmental issues. So they created this endangerment finding, and then they're able to put all these regulations on vehicles, on airplanes, on stationary sources to basically regulate out of existence, in many cases, mm-hmm. a lot of forms of segments of our economy. And it costs Americans a lot of money. What's the significance? How big is the endangerment finding? Well, repealing it will be the largest deregulatory action in the history of America.
Yeah.
So it's hell kind of a big deal.
Kind of a gigantic deal. EPA releases proposal to rescind Obama-era endangerment finding regulations that paved the way for electric vehicle mandates. Now the Department of Energy is getting on board. They released this, a critical review of impacts of greenhouse gas emissions on U.S. climate. They say on July 29th, 2025, the Department of Energy published a report titled A Critical Review of Impacts of Greenhouse Gas Emissions on U.S. Climate, evaluating existing peer-to-peer literature and government data on climate impacts of greenhouse gases emissions and providing critical assessments of the conventional narrative on climate change. Among the key findings, the report concludes that carbon dioxide-induced warming appears to be less damaging economically than commonly believed, and that aggressive mitigation strategies could be more harmful than beneficial. Additionally, the report finds U.S. policy actions are expected to have undetectably small direct impacts on the global climate, and any effects will emerge only with long delays. They have reviewed scientific anthropogenic emissions of CO2 and other GHGs have affected or will affect the nation's climate, extreme weather events, and metrics of societal well-being. Assesses the near-term impacts of elevated concentrations of CO2, including enhanced plant growth and reduced ocean alkalinity. Evaluates data and projections regarding long-term impacts of elevated concentrations of CO2, including estimates of future warming. Finds that claims of increased frequency or intensity of hurricanes, tornadoes, floods, and droughts are not supported by U.S. historical data. Asserts that CO2-induced warming appears to be less damaging economically than commonly believed, and that aggressive mitigation policies could prove more detrimental than beneficial. And finally, it finds that U.S. policy actions are expected to have undetectably small direct impacts on the global climate, and the only effects will emerge with long delays. So basically, the EPA and the Department of Energy have come together to absolutely abolish all of the underpinnings and foundational justification for the climate change agenda. And I don't think I need to remind you of all the various ways that they are just obviously causing more problems than they're solving. Blocking out the sun, burying trees. I mean, these things are absurd and obviously not helping anybody ever.
Every guest we've interviewed in studio, I've given our ultramethylene blue to, and they've all been blown away. Ladies and gentlemen, this isn't hype. All our supplements are great and have amazing health effects, but this one hits 99% of people within 30 minutes, and the long-term effects are even more amazing. So secure your ultramethylene blue now, the most powerful you can get on the market, at TheAlexJonesStore.com, and fund the tip of the spear in the fight for liberty and supercharge your own personal life. Believe me, if you don't take action and get it, you will never know how amazing it is. Over 99% of people have had incredible effects. You owe it to yourself right now to try ultramethylene blue, exclusively available at TheAlexJonesStore.com.
You're listening to The American Journal with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is The American Journal. I'm your host, Harrison Smith. You're watching us on Infowars.com, band.video. However you're finding us, thank you for being here. You can support us by going to TheAlexJonesStore.com and buying one of the incredible products or joining the VIP club. I just want to remind you that tonight, I believe it's at 9 p.m. Central Standard Time, Alex Jones will be debating Nick Fuentes on this network. Stay tuned to InfoWars, stream it on X, share those links. Stay tuned. And then myself and Lebanon John and Rex Jones are going to be doing a post-debate recap show on Moonbase Live. You can follow me on X at Harrison H. Smith. But that's all tonight. Right now, I'm very happy to welcome once again Lisa Logan to the program. She joins us today to discuss her new article, The Cult Capture of the Independent Movement, How Third-Party Politics is Being Used to Usher in a Technocracy for Global Consciousness. You can follow her on YouTube by subscribing to her channel, Parents of Patriots 6581. That's Parents of Patriots, all one word, 6581. Or by following her on X at I Am Lisa Logan. Lisa, thank you so much for joining us once again.
Thanks so much for having me. It's a pleasure to be back on your show.
The pleasure is all mine, and I've got your article right in front of me. And I guess you can tell from the title of the article, it gets pretty esoteric pretty quick. But that's what I love about your work. The Cult Capture of the Independent Movement, How Third-Party Politics is Being Used to Usher in a Technocracy for Global Consciousness. Again, I suggest people go read the whole article, but give us the rundown for us.
Well, like you said, the title pretty much says it all. But I think it's a very important topic for us to talk about because the independent movement, which all of a sudden there's a rise in third-party politics, right? We have Elon Musk breaking from Trump over the Big Beautiful Bill and forming his America Party. We have former Democratic candidate for President Andrew Yang kind of breaking also and forming the Ford Party. And he's reached out to Elon to help him with this whole independent movement push. That whole movement has been essentially commandeered and is now being led by members of a very powerful and influential cult called the Evolutionary Leaders. You just pointed people to my YouTube channel. I have a whole video about them on there as well as several threads on X. And this is important because, you know, we essentially sometimes write off the independent party. You know, they're a bunch of splintered groups. And really there's just a movement of splintered parties that maybe break from the Republican or Democrat parties in one or two topics. But they essentially don't have a unified platform. Now, what this cult is doing is forming a group called the United Independents within the independent party. And you have to ask yourself, what kind of platform and policies will this movement be advocating for? And considering that the guy who is running all of the independent national conventions, a guy named Christopher Life, was a direct protege of the cult's co-founder, Barbara Marx Hubbard, who is a spiritual eugenicist and mother of transhumanism, a lot of the stuff that is being advocated for from that platform in the conventions are fourth industrial revolution technologies that, if in the wrong hands, being put into place in our society, would create the kind of digital control that the books 1984 and Brave New World warned about.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, there's something about these people in your article. You talk about Barbara Marx Hubbard, and you say Hubbard suggests that in order for mankind to consciously evolve into a new transhuman species, one-fourth of the population, which are, quote, defective seeds, must be, quote, eliminated from the social body by the, quote, riders of the pale horse during a quantum shift. Well, what is it about these people? Like, they can have all the plans for transhumanism. Why does it always include murdering a large portion of the world's population? Like, that's always a central pillar in any of their plans. Can't we have transhumanism without the mass murder, or is that just intrinsic in the conversation? I mean, have you noticed this? They all just want to kill a ton of people, and that's like a prerequisite for anything else that they want to suggest. First, it's the murder, then we can get to the rest of it. What's up with that?
Well, you're absolutely right. And that's the scary part about it all, right? Supposedly her followers said, oh, she kind of walked back that language later on in her cult, writings. But I actually found, so that one you just read is from an unpublished manuscript where she basically retells the Book of Revelation and her alternate version of Armageddon. But she says in one of her other books, Happy Birthday, Planet Earth, that these selfish cannot evolve. Because really what they believe, if you're going to believe that man and machine are going to be merged in this transhumanist kind of culture, she believed literally that people who are selfish, now how she describes selfish might be different than you or I would, right, Harrison, it's people who don't want to ascribe to the redistribution of their wealth and resources through socialist means. She considers them like a cancer that will destroy the rest of the body. Because if these people are allowed to have powers, through means where we're merging man and machine, you know, Neuralink and, you know, being able to pay with your hand. And, really that if we're allowed to evolve with the rest of society, that we're going to not allow them to evolve. So it's like, it's us or them. And they believe that you're either going to come along with them and it's going to be through coercion or through force. And that's what's so concerning about these technologies being advocated for, from the independent movement platform is that they will create the kind of, yes, a decentralized system where everything's kind of connected and the data is interoperable between systems and society. But we see that also happen in China.
Right.
They have that kind of system, but they have a centralized authority that makes sure that, hey, if you don't have the right social credit score, you don't have access to goods and services. So you're either going to come along through coercion, you're going to follow their rules, or you're going to not be able to participate in civilized society.
Right. That's what I was going to say. When you're laying out this, you know, future construct of how they want the West to be, you don't have to speculate and you don't have to, you know, wonder what it would look like. They're pretty much just trying to export the Chinese social credit system to the rest of us, right? I mean, that's pretty much exactly how it looks like. How would it be any different than the Chinese system, other than I guess it would be decentralized? And I guess that is how it's being implemented. I covered some stories yesterday about various ways that corporations were, you know, using AI to scan the social media of their employees. There was even a story of Facebook itself. Meta, the company, had AI scan the content of this person's Facebook page and then sent an email, totally unprompted. The AI of Meta sent an email to the woman's boss saying, hey, here's what this woman is saying. Are you sure you want to be associated with her? Which is just crazy. An AI program telling on you to your boss to get you fired. Totally unprecedented. But it seems like that's the way it's happening in the West, is it's instead of being rolled out as a centralized government program, it's sort of we're getting used to the social media social credit score being implemented sort of incrementally as we sleep through it like frogs in a boiling pot. So how would this system be differentiated from the Chinese system, or is it pretty much the same thing?
Well, anytime you decentralize something, right, there usually is rules on how the decentralized system works. So in China, like you're right, they have the state basically saying, these are our rules for how to be a, you know, responsible citizen is what they say. Mm-hmm. And then they with their, you know, kind of public-private partnership with the company that handles that social credit score, monitors and surveils everyone's activities and then kind of assigns them their score based upon what they see. And so you're absolutely right that it's a little different and actually are planning to use artificial intelligence. And before Barbara Marx Hubbard died, she actually died in 2019. And she was working with Christopher Life as her protege on implementing something she called synergistic democracy. Now, within the independent movement right now, that's being pushed as what's called win-win democracy. And its other uglier DEI version, omni-win democracy. So they want it to be more democratized in the way that they feel like people should have a say in how this system will sort of operate. But of course, they do it by equitable DEI standards.
Right.
Certain voices should have more say on how things should work. And it's definitely not localized. It really what they view the whole system as is the entire earth. And what they really want and what her followers were building before she died was something called NOAAMAP. Now it's called S7. It's the actual technology that would make this resource-based or well-being economy work. So AI would determine what all the resources were. And this is what you see now actually also on the kind of the Andrew Yang side, the rise of this abundance network, right? Because we're saying we're not going to have this whole Club of Rome idea of there's, you know, resources are scarce, everybody needs to conserve, and we're going to have all these regulations because they realize that it really inhibits growth of our society. So instead, they are going to have AI be able to determine, yes, we have an abundance of resources. And not only that, it'll be able to know who needs those resources and be able to distribute them equitably. Mm. And so in this, you know, in a worldwide system, AI might decide that, you know, hey, you know, you don't need your land. Some immigrants that came here might need it more than you. Or, hey, those resources might be better redirected to someplace like Africa. And you're just going to have to do without for the good of society.
Right. Right. And as you point out, you know, they have this definition of selfishness, or another word they use is arrogance. I hear that a lot, too. And I always think back to there's a Chinese professor that's pretty high up in the Chinese government. And he wanted to have Xi Jinping, president of China, have a book reading at a bookstore called Poetry and Prose. And the guy, and it's a bookstore in D.C. And the guy said, no, I'm not interested in holding your book reading here. I'm not a communist. I don't want the communist president using my story. And the Chinese professor telling the story says the arrogance of this American, the arrogance to think that he can keep us out of it. And it's like, you know, maybe that is arrogant, but it's not. It's just being an American. It means that when you're on American soil, Xi Jinping, the president of China or the queen of Timbuktu are no better or more superior than the owner of the bookshop. He gets to tell you to get the hell out because it's his land. And it doesn't matter if you're the king of China. Get out. So it's like this idea of our sovereignty, our individualism, our you know, control over our own property, that is seen by these people as arrogant, as selfish, all these bad things. When, you know, we've been raised to understand, no, this is what it means to be an American. This is actually, we have freedom to do what we want. It's not arrogance to not bend the knee. It's sovereignty. And that's what we're, you know, holding on to. So I think that's very insightful. This idea of selfishness, being that your freedom is selfishness. You're being selfish by demanding freedom or to inherit your birthright. That's selfish. You should give it to somebody else. It's that sort of evocative language that gets people to go along with this, isn't it?
Yes, absolutely. And they're really just trying to change the entire system. It's not just how the resources are distributed, but also they're trying to completely change our election systems for two reasons, right? The independent movement has been struggling to get ballot access. It's been very hard for them. And I actually do agree that the two-party system is not perfect. Right. And there's lots of changes that could be made. But really what they're trying to drive us towards is ranked choice voting, or what they call preferential voting or final five voting, where it would take away the one person, one vote aspect of America and our electoral college so that they can then kind of have more of a quote unquote democracy, which is really just mob rule.
Right.
And they view people wanting to keep our constitution and keep our electoral college as selfish.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I'm amazed at how this language and this mindset has sort of seeped its way into the public consciousness. And again, this article gets into some crazy stuff. I want to touch on Epstein, how his whole deal associates with this, the transhumanist aspect. But just reading it and just this idea of we're evolving into this new non-human, you know, advanced race or, you know, whatever their idea is, they might, you might not hear it explicitly a lot, but I had a friend who was talking to a group of people about transgenderism, and one of the people was a major leftist, and the leftist said, just apropos of nothing, just out of nowhere, said, well, you know, we're all transitioning. My friend said, well, what do you mean we're all? And they said, well, we're all transitioning out of being human into being transhuman. So it's like, this is already just part of the public consciousness. People are being trained to accept this idea that humanity is on the cusp of some evolutionary breakthrough where we're going to leave behind all these stupid old traditions and, you know, sex divisions and gender. And that's all the old, because we are this new, this neo human, this neo man that doesn't have to abide by all these traditional things. So, I mean, this is already have a very powerful hold on the public consciousness. And that to me is extremely disturbing. And it's also extremely like powerful. Like it makes me respect these people for how they're able to get their ideas seeped into the public consciousness. Even when nobody knows who they are or what they're doing, their ideas are being embedded.
Well, and actually, you're on the right track here, but what people don't understand is that it already has been mainstreamed into the public. Right. So your audience can go check out how powerful some of these evolutionary leaders are, and read their biographies on their webpage, evolutionaryleaders.net. You'll see that many of these people are members of the Club of Rome, members of the Club of Budapest, the World Economic Forum. Many of them are very influential at the United Nations. And actually, many of them have been platformed for decades on Oprah Winfrey's television show. And this is why, you know, when you saw big things happen like The Secret, you know, and this whole idea that people can use the law of manifestation to manifest things in their lives, this is all a part of this evolutionary leader's cult and their ideology. And it's not just, it is a religion for sure, but also it's a way of viewing the world, that we are not dualistic, you know, separated from the metaphysical, separated from animals and environment and all that kind of stuff, but that we are literally one body. And therefore our needs as humans don't matter as much as the biosphere or insects, you know, and this is where you see like the WHO's One Health agenda come through. And many of these people are connected to the World Health Organization. And so this cult has been able to influence and infiltrate all areas of society. They restructured education in the 90s. They, like I said, have and been involved in Silicon Valley. Literally every single sector you can think of, they were the ones who were behind the environmental, social, and governance scores in business. So this is an actual cult with real chops and real influence in our culture already.
It's very, very disturbing. And I guess they get away with it by just treating like this is just intellectualism. It's not a religion. It's not, we're enforcing our religious views. It's just, we're just intellectuals, and this is just, you know, the academic way of viewing the world. And it's just sick, and it's having incredible, you know, consequences, as we see. I mean, like you say, since the 90s, we've seen our curriculum change. And it seems like everything these people touch gets significantly worse and not fit for purpose anymore. But that hasn't ever stopped them before. And tell us, so we got Christopher Life, Brock Pierce. This is a child actor from the Mighty Ducks movie. What does he have to do with this? And how is this related to the independent, you know, party movement? And is Elon Musk's America Party playing into that in any way, do you think? Because when I think of a third party option, that's the one that's, you know, grabbing headlines these days. How do you think that relates to it?
Well, I think it's important to note that Christopher Life isn't operating by himself. He's using the finances of the Brock Pierce Foundation. And they're working as co-founders, basically running these independent national conventions to kind of rival what's going on with the Republican Democrat parties. And they're also, again, forming a coalition, called United Independence within the independent movement that'll kind of coalesce resources and, you know, an actual platform of what they're supporting and, eventually candidates that they want to throw their weight behind as an independent movement. And Brock Pierce was a child star. He was, like you said, he's in the Mighty Ducks. movies, and he was turned into a cryptocurrency bro. And he was actually a financial advisor in that realm for Jeffrey Epstein. And I think the other thing that I wanted to note, there's some very questionable stuff of him living with this guy named Mark Collins Rector. There's this whole scandal with kind of an early version of Netflix called the Digital Entertainment Network, where there was accusations of an actual sex ring going on, where producers would come to the house where he lived with Collins Rector and his lover, Chad Shackley. And there was supposedly things going on there. Now, he was never prosecuted, but I feel like in relation to his relationship with Epstein, I think it's something to definitely bring up. Brock Pierce was invited and attended a conference that Epstein had on his little St. James Island in 2011 called Mindshift. And it was a conference to discuss evolution. And I think, you know, we talk a lot about the blackmail aspect, maybe the intelligence aspect of what Epstein was doing on his island and in his ranch in New Mexico. But we don't talk enough about something that's not as well known, which is his very, very deep interest in, kind of social and genetic engineering through his relationship with many, many scientists who are studying those types of things. He funded them. He would have them to lunches and dinners. He funded the whole program for evolutionary dynamics at Harvard that actually Harvard got in hot water for after he was prosecuted. And so I think we're not maybe questioning that there might have been evolutionary motives behind what Epstein was up to, especially considering two of the survivors, both Virginia Giuffre in that recent kind of Dead Man Switch recording she put out, was talking about how, you know, Bill Gates, of course, they hated seeing him naked on Epstein Island, but also he would bring genetic experiments or stuff to inject people with him. One of the things that was mentioned, one of the other victims recalled waking up at the Zora Ranch in New Mexico and was on like a medical table, and there were people in medical gear around her, and they were injecting her with something, and she questions, "What did they do to me?" So I think that we definitely need to examine, were there evolutionary motives, transhumanist motives behind what was happening with Epstein and Ghislaine Maxwell?
Well, yeah, absolutely. And again, it's in this article, and the crew is showing all these other articles from, you know, Hollywood Reporter about Brock Pierce and Jeffrey Epstein. So, I mean, all this stuff is verified by mainstream sources, but your article, "The Cult Capture of the Independent Movement, How Third-Party Politics is Being Used to Usher in a Technocracy for Global Consciousness," will be up on InfoWars today, probably very shortly, but we have sort of the advanced copy here. And when we get back on the other side, I'll read just some of what you report about scientists like George Church and the World Transhumanist Association. So again, folks, I mean, it might sound crazy to people that don't know some of this stuff already, but it's like, yeah, when you're talking about transhumanism and a social credit score, and it's tied in with Jeffrey Epstein and all these other, you know, fundraisers and high connected people, the World Economic Forum, the WHO. I mean, they really are tied in together. They really are pursuing a single agenda, and it is not for your best interest, and it's not for humanity. They actually see humanity as maybe a stepping stone or maybe an obstacle to their ultimate goals. And we'll get into, you know, how those are being manifested right now in real life. Not something far down the line. It's happening right now as we speak, and we have to stop it. Stay with us.
We have the Labor Day mega sale, 25% off on top of all the other discounts that are already there on the widest selection of Patriot apparel, on collectible, tactical, super high quality knives that are about to sell out, collectible silver coins, you name it, but more importantly, the supplements. Labor Day sale continues through Monday. Customers get an additional 25% off on all supplements on the site. That's the Ultramethylene Blue, Liquid and Caps, the Life Force, great for your cardiovascular system, and Spike Detox. The best out there. Everybody should take it, whether you have the COVID shot or not, because this stuff sheds. Colostrum, the best bovine colostrum. Mammals, for the first few weeks after a baby's born, produce something that's special. It's clear. It's less milky than milk. It's a lot clearer, but it's kind of like hazy water. It's full of all of these super charged things that just do incredible things for the whole body, fortifying the immune system, super nutrients. Your mother produces colostrum, but this is bovine colostrum, 2,000 milligrams per serving. It is incredible. It's all the rage. We put a survey out 11 months ago. What do you want most? I'm like, we want bovine colostrum. We got you the best private label. That's their discount as well. TheAlexJonesStore.com. So you want to get Life Force. You want to get the colostrum. You want to get methylene blue. You've heard the rave reviews. You are insane if you don't try our methylene blue. But be careful. Talk to your physician first. You can have some interactions with certain drugs like SSRIs. And then take a small amount at first. Because 99% of people feel incredible levels of energy. Just incredible levels of energy. And then the long-term effects are even better. And then medically, look into why RFK Jr. pushes it. It does so much for your body. So much for everything. We have the best at TheAlexJonesStore.com. And I want to thank everybody that are VIP members. But just like if you're an Amazon person, everybody, almost everybody, is a Prime member. Because the immediate benefits you get, $30 a month, cancel anytime, in your profile, free. Bloop, you know, and you get $40 to spend in the store. So you're going to buy anything, become a VIP. And when you get the product, and you're going to love it, you'll still be a VIP then. But let's say you didn't like it. And then, okay, you go get your $40 for $30. You just made $10 extra to buy more product. And then you can cancel. But most people aren't doing it. Majority stay VIPs. So just become a VIP at checkout, additional $30. Or just go sign up to be a VIP, get the $40, and then buy the stuff you want. And then you get special deals, special offers, special sales only for you, and discounts on top of everything. So if you're going to buy anything at TheAlexJonesStore.com, you should become a VIP. Also, some supplements sell out. They're selling out of the bovine colostrum probably tomorrow. Told them to get more. They're selling out of the Life Force. That'll be sold out in a few days. They're selling out of the Power Plant and Methyl Drive. But if you're a subscriber, they hold it back for you, and then you get a bigger discount, up to 50% off on that as well. And these are game-changing products. People ask, man, how have I in a year lost almost 70 pounds? How have I, you know, how can I, you know, do that? It's been taking the supplements consistently, intermittent fasting, drinking more water, but all of it together, ladies and gentlemen. But I'm telling you, since I got on methylene blue, it has supercharged me even more the last 6 months. But I now am religiously taking all the supplements. So, TheAlexJonesStore.com, TheAlexJonesStore.com, TheAlexJonesStore.com. But whatever you do, pray for the broadcast, pray for the crew, and keep sharing the articles and videos from Rumble, at the Alex Jones Network, and from X, Alex Jones, and from Infowars.com/show.
Putting the power of conversation into the caller's hands. You're listening to The American Journal with your host, Harrison Smith.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is The American Journal. I'm your host, Harrison Smith, here with Lisa Logan, talking about her bombshell new article. Or it will be a bombshell when it drops later today on Infowars.com. Let me get the exact title of this article. The Cult Capture of the Independent Movement, How Third-Party Politics is Being Used to Usher in a Technocracy for Global Consciousness. And this is sort of the ultimate conspiracy, the conspiracy that all the constituent conspiracies are driving us towards. And I was just thinking about that during the break, looking at this article and thinking about how all of these things are being so rapidly implemented. And just making a quick list off the top of my head, obviously you have, stories that I talked about earlier, we covered them yesterday, of AI being used in hiring practices or as a de facto social credit score, where basically you'll lose your job if you say the wrong thing online, express the wrong sentiments. You have the Online Safety Act that was just passed in the UK, totally censoring everybody, forcing you to provide your digital ID or, link some other biometric information in order to just see information that they'll still censor from you if they don't want you to see it anyway. Facial recognition is becoming much more widespread. Now, if you go to the airport, they don't even ask to see your ID. They just ask you to look at the lens, please. And they take your photo. Now we have variable pricing, because what I was thinking of was the way that China implements the social credit system is very savvy. It's very sophisticated. They won't necessarily deny you things. They just make it more expensive, or they make it harder, or they make it less convenient, right? And I can just see how this plays out where, as you're arguing, going, well, this is unfair. Because I have a low credit score, I can't get on the high-speed train. And I can just see the argument being made, well, yeah, but you can still get on a train. It's not like they're stopping you from getting on a train. You just have to take the regional. It's just going to take you 12 hours instead of 2 hours, but they aren't actually stopping you. So it's this subtle implementation. It's the soft implementation. It's the, well, we aren't stopping you, but we just are going to make it a little harder. And that made me think about the variable pricing that's being implemented in all sorts of cases in America. Delta has announced variable pricing. And I've got the article from the Chicago Tribune. Editorial, a pox on personalized airline pricing at Delta or elsewhere. We're not up for surge pricing at the grocery store either. So that's being implemented, this sort of soft social credit score where they, well, you can afford more, so we're going to charge you more. And that person, so you don't have a single price that everybody pays. You have prices tailored to that person's, you know, capabilities. And then that just adds to the renting and not owning, where you aren't going to own your phone or your house or your car. It'll all be rented. Tesla auto driving. I mean, again, I'm sorry to ramble because we have Lisa Logan here. He's the expert on all of this. But just as I was running through my mind during the break of all of these things that have all been implemented in just the last few weeks or months, and they're all coming together to provide the foundation and the infrastructure for the global consciousness initiative that you're describing here. So I'm sorry to ramble, but I mean, I'm sure you're noticing all of this as well. All of these things are being implemented all over the place all at once.
Right. And I think it's like you said, it's a frog boiling in a pot of water. It comes along kind of incrementally. Maybe it's just a pilot in your town. That's how they started with the airport biometric stuff, right? Oh, it's just a pilot, but they don't tell you that. They don't tell you that you're not going to be detained to get on your flight, right, if you don't participate in their pilot program. And it's just like how we have smartphones, right? And we, you know, have the choice of accepting the terms and conditions of using, right, that phone. But I mean, good luck using your phone in society if you don't have one. And you won't be able to do that unless you set those terms and conditions. And so we're slowly being kind of steered into this society where, again, everything will be digitally connected. And I think it's important to talk about those technologies. You are an expert, Harrison, because you're here reporting the news and showing how it actually is being implemented and promoted within our society. And the problem is, once you're interconnected like that, a lot of people think, oh, it's so great, you know, well, it's convenient. I'll be able to pull up my medical records on my digital wallet if I have to go somewhere and show that I'm up to date on my vaccines. But in a world like China, where they can take your ability to, again, ride a high-speed train away or turn your health code red if you attend a protest, it's not the freedom and the choice that people really think it is. And so it's an important thing for us to talk about how these technologies really are going to set up a system where we're going to have to comply with what those rules are. And those could be, and who's going to set those rules? Who's going to train the AI, right, to say these are the rules that are acceptable for this person to have access to these goods and services?
And yes, and what are their values and what are their philosophies? And we know, we were talking about earlier, they think freedom is selfish and your sovereignty is arrogance and you have to be brought down. And I guess it makes sense. It's easier to bring everybody who's, you know, superlative, bring them down to the average. A lot easier to do that than it is to bring the bottom up. So yeah, I guess technically it makes sense what they're doing. It's just, you know, evil. It's just destroying the, you know, human potential that we have on offer. And, you know, not to get too far off the mark, I was, you know, brainstorming that during the break. But before the break, we were talking about Epstein and his creepy activity. So let's get back to that. Not let that fall to the wayside. This is from your article that, again, will be published on InfoWars shortly. Two of Epstein victims, Virginia Giuffre in her Dead Man Switch recording and Juliet Rose Bryant, have alleged that there were genetic experiments going on at both his private Virgin Island and Zorro Ranch in New Mexico. He surrounded himself with scientists like George Church, who was working, quote, to identify genes that could be altered to create superior humans, and gave large sums of money to the World Transhumanist Association. The article goes on to say that Mr. Epstein's vision reflected his longstanding fascination with what has become known as transhumanism, the science of evolving, of improving the human population through technologies like genetic engineering and artificial intelligence. So all these things are again, combining and accelerating. They're talking now about, in the UK, babies being born that have three sets of genetic code in them. So, I mean, transhumanism is here, isn't it? I mean, are you warning about something that's coming, or are you telling people about something that's already happening right now, Lisa?
Well, I mean, let's just be real. Epstein was having these billionaires dinners, inviting all these scientists and members from Transhumanist Association to talk about how do we make this a reality. It is already happening in a lot of ways. Again, you have, I guess, surveillance. You have test tube babies or experimenting with artificial wombs. This is a real thing. People are already experimenting with how do we enhance. And you know, some of those things could be great. But you see, again, you can insert a chip in your hand and be able to pay with things. But again, what happens when they shut that off for you? Smart meters are being installed on people's water systems that they can shut off if it's a part of a centralized system that decides you've used too much water. And so these technologies to control us, and as well as enhance our capabilities as humans, already are starting to exist. And so I want to bring up, too, then the fact that, you know, Elon has been great getting all the waste, fraud, and abuse out of the federal government with his DOGE, Department of Government Efficiency. And he says his new party is going to advocate for, responsible national debt policy, you know, as far as reducing the national debt, because he feels the two main parties aren't very kind of zeroed in on that. But will his America Party, what else will they advocate for? Will they advocate for these fourth industrial revolution technologies as well that merge the physical, digital, and biological spheres? And the answer is yes. And actually, from my article, it says he's obviously has a company, Neuralink, and which advocates for brain implantable interfaces. And his 2023 post regarding his social media platform X evolving to, quote, be the collective consciousness of humanity, yeah, or more accurately, the human machine collective, which has now been conveniently merged with XAI, as we know, and also his stated desire to make X the everything app, similar to the Chinese WeChat, which is the system that holds all of that into place. It's safe to say that yes, he is for these technologies. And so I think just going to the ballot box, or, you know, kind of pausing for a minute to, cause I think actually that all of this political theater that we're seeing over the, you know, how much was released about the Epstein case and the Big Beautiful Bill dispute, I think all of this is political theater to make both the left and the right-hand side of government, conservatives and Republicans and Democrats, look bad, so that it actually drives us to this middle way third-party politics that is advocating for these technologies.
Yeah, and especially with Elon, both Peter Thiel as well, mm-hmm, it's hard to get a read on how they feel. I'm sure you saw the video. I'd love to get your comments when Peter Thiel was asked about, like, aren't you kind of building the infrastructure that the Antichrist would use? You know, if you're warning against the Antichrist, well, here you are building all of the programs you say that the Antichrist would need to use, aren't you? And it's like Peter Thiel had never thought about that before. He's like, huh, yeah, I guess I am kind of building, you know, paving the way for the Antichrist. And it's like, okay, has he actually never thought about that? Or I don't know what to make of these guys. Clearly, Elon Musk, I was just thinking about this the other day, because, you know, every once in a while it'll happen where I'll bring up Twitter on my phone and the app will just kind of freeze up. And I always get this flashback to like 2 or 3 years ago when I never knew if my Twitter account was going to be there or not, right? I mean, censorship was real and intense. And if you would be careful, and it was not a rare occurrence for me to flip on Twitter to see, sorry, you've been banned. So thank God for Elon Musk opening up Twitter. Thank God for Elon Musk helping Trump get elected. I don't want to throw the guy under the bus. At the same time, he's obviously a transhumanist. How do you deal with that? How do we deal with these people that seemingly are on our side, seemingly love humanity, And yet they're paving the way for this technocracy. I mean, how do you deal with these characters?
Yeah, and actually, I thought you were going to ask me about the video that I saw with Peter Thiel, where the guy was asking him, do you still believe that humans should exist in the future?
Right.
And you kind of had a very kind of uncomfortable long pause before he said, well, it's complicated. And then right. He had this long answer. I'm like, that's the kind of stuff that concerns me again, because
seriously,
they view humans as the ultimate consumption entity in our ecosystem, and that we are exploitative of the rest of the resources. And so I think you have to view people for who they are. And I think we can, in the same sentence, appreciate Elon's cutting of, this waste and abuse at the government. I'm so grateful he cut USAID. And also, his taking over of X, although I would agree I'm just a censor to be honest.
Right.
But I think we can appreciate those things and in the same sentence point out that, hey, it's not okay for you to set up this digital infrastructure to control all of humanity. I think we need to point that stuff out when it happens as citizens. I think, you had Courtney Turner on your show the other day talking about this AI.gov stuff. I mean, yep. I think we need to point that stuff out and say, no, we were not for it. 10 years ago, we're still not for it. We want to have ultimate freedom and cognitive liberty, and we do not want you to set up a system of control that can allow that to happen.
And as you point out in your article, it's not even a matter of, I don't know how to put it, it's just they don't have a right to impose their beliefs on us, especially even if I agreed with their beliefs, I wouldn't want them imposed. But these people, I don't know where they're coming from. I don't know what the basis of their understanding is. As you point out, how would one make sure that only the good can evolve? Because they talk about, well, some people just have to die and other people will evolve and some people won't. Well, how do you make sure that only the good can evolve? Moreover, who or what defines good? A system would have to be created to track, quote, selfish people and force them to comply either through coercion, nudging, or force, and to leave them no other option to participate in society without plugging themselves into that system. So again, that to me is the superlative concern is, what these people define as good, I don't define as good. What they define as selfish, I don't define as selfish. And yet they're just doing it. Again, they're not asking permission. They're not saying, we'd like to set up the system. Will you allow us? And we all get to vote. And if the majority, no, they're just doing it, right? So they're just imposing this on us unless we stop them. So I guess let's turn to that. How do we stop them? What do we need to be doing to, cut them off at the pass and prevent them, so we're not always just playing catch up as they implement these technologies and we, point them out and point out how evil they are and point out where they're going? How do we head them off at the pass? How do we stop them from implementing this before it's too late?
I think we have to create policies at the local level that shield our local society from these things. Now, I don't know what we do globally. I think we have to get some, And even nationally, right, we have to get some congressmen on board who are willing to make those same laws at that level as well to say these things cannot be implemented. I think we have to also really cut these public-private partnerships, because that is what is driving all of this into our culture, because that is really taxation without representation. You're having unelected bodies decide things for us regular people without even a vote in place. So I think that's the one thing. And then I think overall, just making yourself aware of what these movements are called and what they're doing, to kind of set up this infrastructure. There's actually a website called secondrenaissance.net, second spelled out, that'll show you all the meta-modernist, and economic, groups that are working together to put this in place. In the intellectual dark web space, we have Game B. Again, I mentioned the Noamap S7 people. You have, all of the folks who are in that well-being economy, agenda that I talked about, when I was exposing the federal plan for equitable long-term recovery and resilience. There's actual webs of these people on the internet on Kaggle, and you can find them and realize that they're using all aspects, media, they're using their friends in the United Nations, which again, they're very influential. They're setting all this digital, rules for how they're going to fight disinformation and misinformation, and just start saying no, show up, speak up, and assert your cognitive and physical liberty.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's the type of thing that the purpose of these programs, in part at least, is to stop you from speaking out against the program. So it's like once they're implemented, it's too late. Talking about this yesterday, mm-hmm. either with the Online Safety Act or, you know, now they've got, anti-Semitism monitors in places like Facebook. And so once they're in place, if you say, hey, it's not good that the, you know, Jewish Zionist organization gets to censor Facebook, they go, well, too bad, that violates our rules, so we're going to remove it. Or the Online Safety Act. If you say, I don't like this, they can say, well, that's actually against the rules of the Online Safety Act, so we'll remove that. So if you want to stop this, you have to stop it before it happens. Once it's implemented, it's too late. Once the social credit score is established, that's pretty much the end for any revolutionary activity, any change whatsoever, because they can nip it in the bud. They can take any nascent or, you know, starting to develop revolutionary concept and just crush it outright or silence you or separate you away from everybody else. You know, another thing that happened recently that reminds me of everything that you're laying out is that the Waymo cars refused to take people to the protests in California during the immigration protest. And obviously that was because they were attacking the Waymo cars. But it, again, it's sort of a symbol of how this is already being implemented, how if you want to go protest the government, well, not if it violates Waymo's terms of service, not if Tesla right. says, sorry, your protest against the government violates our position. We're not going to take you there. How are you going to gather? So, you know, just making the point that we got to head this off at the pass. Once these things are implemented, it's too late to try to solve them, right?
Oh, definitely. Yeah. And again, it's being driven by these public-private partnerships that are slowly taking away our other options. If we don't want to participate in, you know, a self-driving car or whatever, like eventually that's all the options we'll have left. So I think fighting for options also to continue to have them and not be plugged into this system is important as well.
So you get into all of this in your article, and it's, again, people not aware of how real all of this is. I get that it might sound crazy. You got Elon, you got Epstein, you got transhumanism and the Chinese communist model. And like, it's just a wide ranging article because it's such a wide ranging conspiracy that they're involved in. And so again, the sort of central point of it is this literal cult that you're describing, founded by Barbara Marx Hubbard and now, you know, being carried out by Christopher Life. Why have I not heard of these people before? I mean, I'm in this sphere all the time. I'm always reading about this stuff. But these people have slipped by my vision. How did I miss these guys? Are they good at hiding themselves, or am I not doing the right research? How did I miss these people?
Well, actually, you probably haven't. I'll point out that some people who are no longer on the Evolutionary Leaders website, probably on purpose, but a two-time presidential candidate, Marianne Williamson, was a evolutionary leader on their website, has now been scrubbed. You have people like Deepak Chopra. Gosh, how much has he been in the media for all sorts of various things that he's promoted? They're more in plain sight than you think they are. And I will also point out Jean Houston, who's another evolutionary leader, was spiritual advisor to Hillary Clinton. So they are there and they're influential, but many of them kind of work behind the scenes at places like the United Nations. Again, they were responsible for the SDGs. They were responsible for the complete restructuring of education through Clinton's Goals 2000. Literally everything that I've come on your show and talked about, Harrison, they have played a role in. Right. That federal plan for equitable long-term recovery and resilience, four of them are listed on their chart as white sages. Wow. So they are very much a part of our society without you knowing it.
Wow. Yeah, it's very disturbing. And I wish we had longer with you, because I want to get into what's happening in the World Economic Forum right now. It seems like they're maybe not as influential as they were a few years ago. And I'm wondering if they're reorganizing in some other organization or if they're, I think we won. I think we exposed them for who they are. And so they just don't have any credibility anymore. So it's not beneficial for them to send out Noah Yuval Harari out, because people just get creeped out by him and don't like what he's up to. So I wonder how the information landscape is changing with things like the World Economic Forum falling out of favor as InfoWars and people like yourself expose what they're up to. it seems like they're going a little bit more underground and being a little bit more hidden. Have you noticed that?
I definitely have. And I think behind the scenes, they are forming coalitions within themselves. I know one of the evolutionary leaders, Mark Gurzon, actually got the Social Venture Network and the World Economic Forum to sit down and shake hands over their agenda. And so quietly behind the scenes, the UN and the WEF are working together, as well as some of these other very radical non-governmental organizations. And again, I just want to say, with the digital sphere, the evolutionary leaders set the whole entire agenda for the Summit of the Future last year. I went on Dr. Right. Drew's show to talk about it. And really what they're doing is the digital control of all society. Again, they get to decide what's misinformation. So you have AI, Google Jigsaw deciding, oh, hey, if you're saying something on the internet we don't like, we're going to send you into a private chat room with an AI bot. And they're going to school you on the proper way to say that. So I just think that don't lose sight of kind of this agenda doesn't go away. It just transforms. And so we have to be on top of and in front of what it's transforming into so that we can continue to say no.
And it's not enough just to say no. You gotta put your foot down. We gotta have laws in place. You gotta have the two prong approach. You gotta say no on an individual level, but we gotta combine. We gotta, organize and stage protests and just make people aware of what's going on so we can get some political movement against it, because they're not going to stop. We have to stop them. And that, again, is sort of always the message whenever I'm joined by Lisa Logan. It's always, here's what these people are up to. Now it's time to go out and stop them ourselves, not just beg for their mercy. They have none. Lisa Logan, thank you so much for joining us. You can follow Lisa on X at I Am Lisa Logan, on YouTube at Parents of Patriots 6581. The article that you gotta read and share is called The Cult Capture of the Independent Movement, How Third Party Politics is Being Used to Usher in Technocracy for Global Consciousness. And that will be published later today on Infowars.com. Lisa, thank you so much for being with us today.
Thanks for having me.
My pleasure. At I Am Lisa Logan on X. Go follow her and inform yourself, folks. That's about going to do it for us. But I do got to tell you, they just delivered this very important piece of paper here. Store-wide, buy one, get one, super sale for VIPs only on thealexjonesstore.com. Buy one, get one on all supplements and all apparels while supply lasts. Unlock massive savings with our store-wide, buy one, get one, super sale at thealexjonesstore.com, where VIP members can score buy one, get one deals on all supplements and apparel to supercharge your wellness and style. You're going to look as good as you feel, folks. This exclusive offer is reserved for our VIP club elites, giving you unbeatable value on top quality products that fuel your fight for truth and freedom. Join the VIP club today for just $30 a month. Cancel anytime. You instantly get $40 in store credit plus access to this epic sale. Do not miss out. Sign up now. Double up on your savings. Support the Info War.
Ladies and gentlemen, every guest we've had in studio that we've given ultramethylene blue or super medical grade to, within 30 minutes has felt enlightenment, energy, clarity, like a fog lifts. Their stamina, their libido, their workouts are better. Long term, it just gets better and better. We have the best in capsules and liquid at thealexjonesstore.com. And if you will just research, look up methylene blue and eyesight, methylene blue and Alzheimer's, methylene blue and cardiovascular health, methylene blue and energy, methylene blue and memory. Not even looking today, I ran into this. Is methylene blue the secret weapon for fighting Alzheimer's and keeping your brain young? And they got Dr. Peter McCullough, very respected, with all these other scientists saying, oh, yes, it's incredible. Yeah, it is. So we have Labor Day weekend sale, continues through tomorrow, so let's listen, 48 hours. All the customers get an additional, there's already discounts, 25% off on all supplements on the site. You only have till tomorrow night at midnight central. Yesterday's top five sellers, methylene blue, methylene blue caps, Life Force, the spike protein cardiovascular detox, colostrum, we have the very best concentrated bovine colostrum, ultramethylene blue, Shilajit caps, all sorts of great deals at thealexjonesstore.com. Even if they shut this place down, they don't get thealexjonesstore.com. They don't get the Alex Jones Network. I don't own it. I don't own the equipment. I don't own the shopping cart. And so they can piss up a rope. They can harass me all day, appoint state receivers to come get money I don't have. I don't care, because I have a great family and great crew and great audience of activists. And I've never been a high roller, and just I'm happier than a pig, and you know what. So thank you so much for your support. TheAlexShowStore.com. The Daily Mail's got it. Safety fears at Florida nuclear plant as bombshell report says staff too scared to speak out about the dangers. And it's the same all over the country, and it's the same in Europe. France is the biggest per capita user of nuclear power. They have constant leaks, constant disasters, constant cover-ups. You have mainline groups, people with Geiger counters, scientist groups. And they know from the isotopes it's coming out of the damn reactors. And they're just kind of, a little radiation, not a problem. And they're not just spewing general radiation, they're spewing particles. And if you get a particle out of one of these in your lungs, within a few months to a year, bye-bye. 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 But I want in this short segment to just get a very important story. I am anti-nuclear power. And I'm a populist. I'm a conservative. I was brought up conservative and, you know, brought up 1970s, 80s. America can do no wrong. Technology's the way to go. Nuclear power is the way to go. Liberals don't like it. Well, those are the old-fashioned liberals that were right on not wanting fluoride in the water. And it was the liberals that knew the shots were killing people back then. They were wrong on social policy and things, but they were right about nuclear power. Yeah, it's an interesting technology, but the way corporations behave and run things, it's not just here. Look at the Japanese. Very able people. They make, you know, the best cars, hands down. They like to have quality. They like to, you know, do a good job. You've seen what's happened with their reactors. And the bad decision to build them on some of the worst fault lines and things. A lot of them are built on fault lines here and tsunami zones. And you see the Russians and their reactors blowing up. And then there were a lot of reactors blew up in the U.S. starting in the 50s that didn't even become public until the 80s. Oh, yeah, it was a big reactor blew up in the 50s about L.A. Radiated everybody. They just covered it up. And cancer exploded in the rest of it. So we need coal. We need gas. We need oil. It's basically unlimited. It's good. It makes plants grow. Global warming's a lie. It's all a fraud. Carbon dioxide in our history has been way higher than it is now. Sea levels haven't risen. And there's 450-something industrial power output reactors in the world. There's thousands of military ones. And even more secret ones, I can tell you. They put them in space powering stuff. Real smart. And you can have one of those fall into out of orbit and come through and detonate. And it's just a disaster. And if there is ever a collapse of civilization or something, those reactors will basically all melt down. If there's a nuclear war, they'll all melt down. And they're super radioactive compared to a hydrogen bomb detonating. People don't know. Okay, those are clean compared to these. So it's playing with the devil's fire. It's out of control. And there's a bunch of articles out of Florida. A Daily Mail's got it. Safety fears at Florida nuclear plant as bombshell report says staff too scared to speak out about the dangers. And it's the same all over the country. And it's the same in Europe. France is the biggest per capita user of nuclear power. They have constant leaks, constant disasters, constant cover-ups. You have mainline groups, people with Geiger counters, scientist groups. And they know from the isotopes it's coming out of the damn reactors. And they're just kind of, a little radiation, not a problem. And they're not just spewing general radiation. They're spewing particles. And if you get a particle out of one of these in your lungs, within a few months to a year, bye-bye, bye-bye, bye-bye. So this stuff is dirty. It is a bad technology. It's 1940s technology. We got stuff way better and cleaner. But instead, to power all of the data centers for AI, they said they're going to build hundreds of new little neighborhood safe ones. Oh, they're so safe. Safe and effective like the COVID shots, right? Safe and effective like fluoride. So now at the St. Lucie nuclear plant, they're reporting hundreds of bad events that they report and then they get in trouble or threatened. And by the way, the nuclear industry, I'm not going to say they're doing this here, but you know, there's famous movies on true stories where they kill your ass when you talk.
All right, so folks, that is the latest from Alex Jones. Finally, share that on his X at Real Alex Jones. We are in studio with Rex Jones on the other side. Don't go anywhere, folks.
Every guest we've interviewed in studio, I've given our ultramethylene blue to, and they've all been blown away. Ladies and gentlemen, this isn't hype. All our supplements are great and have amazing health effects, but this one hits 99% of people within 30 minutes, and the long-term effects are even more amazing. So secure your ultramethylene blue now, the most powerful you can get on the market, at thealexjonesstore.com, and fund the tip of the spear in the fight for liberty and supercharge your own personal life. Believe me, if you don't take action and get it, you will never know how amazing it is. Over 99% of people have had incredible effects. You owe it to yourself right now to try Ultramethylene Blue, exclusively available at thealexjonesstore.com.
The American Journal with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Third hour of The American Journal is on. I'm joined in studio by the one and only Rex Jones. Rex, how you doing today?
Always good to be back with Unc Harrison. It's always good to be on The American Journal. It's always good to be live with you. I mean, I'm a fan of the show, like I always say. So let's just get into it, man.
Well, it's an exciting time, man, especially politically with the all the divisions happening. I know you're a big fan of Nick Fuentes, as am I. Did you watch his Tucker Carlson?
Oh yeah,
well, report.
We did a reaction to it, man. We did a little.
Oh yeah, yeah, that's right. Yeah. We did a little. But that was the debate between him and Alex. But the Tucker video.
Oh yeah, no, I've watched that thing probably twice. It's like 3 hours long. I mean, when you're talking about like an orator, when you're talking about someone that has the ability to speak and to communicate a message, I don't think there's anybody better. And like, that's why I personally am such a huge fan. There are things that I disagree with Fuentes on 100%, but I mean, just looking at the scale of ability, like there really is no comparison.
Yeah. Well, and like I said, it's the narrative, right? It's laying out the narrative of what's really going on behind the scenes. And
it's just kind of odd, you know, like I like Tucker and everything, but why you got a photo in Nicaragua and you're like in your early 20s and you got the strap?
Well, you know, it's interesting. Yeah. Because, you know, clearly, cause I'm a fan of Tucker Carlson as well.
Mm-hmm.
I think, you know, it's weird that he said he didn't know his dad was CIA when he did know that. Like, why would he lie about that? That's a little bit suspicious to me. At the same time, like, I'm watching Nick's thing and, you know, occasionally he gets into, he's like, you know, they were down there, you know, stopping the communists from taking over South America. And it's like, all right, well, I'm kind of in favor of that. I can kind of see where, like, if you're the Tucker Carlson type and you're like, well, this is, you know, American hegemony and there are these communists trying to take over these countries and we helped them to avoid being taken over.
I think that this gets into a much wider and larger and bigger point. And this is a point I was discussing with the crew while you were on air, right? It's just like, we got all these factions involved and the kind of narrative is it's left versus right, man. And like, we got to stop the liberals or we got to stop the evil Trumpers, whatever it is. No, there's like 20 different groups of people. Everybody has their own interests that they serve. Everyone has their own power structure that they serve. And I like the point that Alex makes on the show now, which is it really seems that like the left was beaten into submission and then the pro-Israel lobby is making a run at taking over our country fully.
Yeah.
So that's what I personally subscribe to. And whatever the deal with Fuentes is, I believe he's for real because I haven't seen any evidence that he isn't. And I don't think you can fake that kind of live performance. It's hard to talk to cameras. It's really difficult. So like all in all, I think there's an element of, you know, the older unks were like, I guess, Candace would be an aunt, but like worried about
the auntie.
Young nephew coming in and stealing their thunder. But I do think it's a little more than that. I think that they recognize that there are positions that they hold. Like Tucker will always say, I love Israel. I love Israel. I don't love Israel. Me saying that right here. I don't love Israel. Like that's a very easy value judgment to make based on the apartheid and the killing of the children and the genocide and the starvation and all that stuff. So if you're still having to qualify the statements that you're making, as in like, oh, I love Israel. Israel's fine, but oh, Netanyahu, oh, it's bad. You got to go. You know, like that's not like 80% of the population support what's going on in Gaza.
Yeah, like that's what I've heard. I mean, I don't know.
Maybe if we can pull that graphic up on screen. It's a very public and popular poll.
Yeah.
Well, and search.
There was a video that was going viral last week. I'm not sure if we ever played it. I do think I had it at one point, but it's Israeli podcasters, and they're, you know, very open about it. They're like, you know, when we're out, you know, dancing and clubbing in Israel, mm-hmm. we enjoy
it
more.
Yeah, we get off on it. Yeah,
because we know that there are people starving in Gaza, and it's like, that's sick. And I mean, you know.
Dude, and I feel like that's never been the American attitude. Like even like when we go to war and we kill people, we don't have the attitude of, oh, we're going to the music festival and the Vietnamese can't go to the music festival. So screw
right.
them. Like, no, I think Americans have always understood at a certain level and we're protected by two big oceans and we have all this beautiful geography and whatnot. But if you mess with someone, they come for your neck. This is what happens. And the only reason why the Israelis mess with the Palestinians on the degree that they do is because they believe they have some sort of like mandate of heaven, like Mao, as in like, oh, we can do whatever we want. And you people are cavemen, so you'll never have the weapons or missiles to stop us.
Right.
And when you have a big country like Iran or even a little country like Yemen that threatens American and therefore Israeli hegemony in the region. Right. Like when the Yemenis are launching missiles at our ships and we got to take evasive action and the F-16 goes overboard, like, I don't think they expected that. And that's right. why that 12-day war was a 12-day war. Let's right. look at that. 32% in U.S. back Israel's military action in Gaza, a new low. It should not be that high.
Right.
It should not be that high. It should be like 15%. And we go, okay, these are the crazy people.
Right. The 15% fringe.
But if you look at that, it's like 30%. That's kind of like the MAGA base, to be honest with you. That's kind of like that. It's that number, you know, like Trump's approval rating with independents has gone with the liberals. It's always horrible. But with the Republicans, it's been stable. It's been like 80-90%. So,
well, and you know, I even relate it to, there's a post I saw today that was somebody posting something about Abraham Lincoln and mm-hmm. all this. And, you know, some foreigner, you know, migrant to America responds going, you know, the real problem was Abraham Lincoln didn't arrest every single Confederate, you know, leader and hang them on the steps of the White House. And it's like, that's because not what we do.
Well, that person's ignorant of American history because right. as we know, the Reconstruction period was a period brutal. Where, yes, but it's a period where like there could have been more conflict, there could have been more fighting, but people like Ulysses S. Grant came in and shut all that stuff down.
Oh, Robert E. Lee. Robert E. Lee's his whole thing was like, we could keep fighting some guerrilla war and 100,000 more people could die, or you all surrender and we can shake hands. I mean, literally you have people today who have more animus and hate for Confederates than the Union soldiers. I mean, the Union soldiers, this picture, they're shaking hands with the Confederates. They would have picnics together and go, yeah, we are enemies, but now we buried the hatchet and we moved together as brothers. And like that idea is so foreign to people outside of the West, outside of like, you know, our mindset. It is dog eat dog, crush your enemy into the dirt, you know, kill their children.
That's what
it's brutal. And it's not how we do things.
Israel says rise and kill them first.
Yeah.
That is their motto for war, for fighting is to rise and kill them first. And the point that I've heard Fuentes make, which I 100% agree with, is that applies to us.
Mm.
That applies to us. And if there really ever is an anti-Israel sentiment that truly like gestates itself in America and results in some sort of candidate being elected or some people with actual positions of power, like cutting off the aid and whatnot, I believe they would attack us, you know, and some would say that's already happened.
I mean, you hear, you know, prominent people in America say that, you know, Europeans have anti-Semitism in their DNA. And it's like, I made that point many times, like, okay, they keep calling Palestinians Nazis. Who else do they call Nazis? I mean, it's not that far-fetched.
It's so messed up because the Palestinians, like if you look at the genealogy and the DNA studies that have been done, those are the people that are the closest related to Jesus. Like,
right.
They live right there. They live in his home. And Israel, like Jesus said, you've turned my father's house into a den of thieves, referring to the temple. We've turned Jesus's home into a graveyard.
That's brutal.
I mean, look at this. Like, it's just, it's unconscionable. And that's why I have no issue speaking out about it, is because it's literally cartoon bad.
Right.
And if anyone wants ever to go, oh, vicious anti-Semite, oh, it's like, you've killed tens of thousands, perhaps hundreds of thousands of women and children. Like, good grief. Get it together. Use your brain. You are the Nazi. You are the Nazi.
I have to laugh because it is so ridiculous to have to be defending Children's dying.
And,
it's crazy.
And like they call themselves like, we are the light of the world. We are Israel. Right. It's like, no, you're like the dark pit. Like,
right.
What are you talking about
here? It's brutal. And yeah, it's tragic. And you go to I was reading the New Testament and it's like, and Jesus then went into Gaza and it's like, oh man, literally Jesus walked around in these places.
Went into Gaza.
Yeah.
You know, after that, you know, a couple thousand years and.
Yeah. And a little different in that situation. And there's so much that it's funny. I actually texted Nick because I was watching a clip of his where he's talking about the rise and kill first thing. And that's the name of a very good book, by the way. Everybody should go read this book. It's by a guy named Ronan, I believe. And he's an Israeli journalist and he interviewed a bunch of Israelis for this book called Rise and Kill First. And it's the history of the targeted killing, methods that Israel uses to end its enemies. And it goes way back to, you know, the end of the Second World War where you had, these Jewish organizations that would basically kidnap prisoners of war to execute them, you know, in complete contravention of,
the Nazi hunting.
Yeah. The Nazi hunting type stuff. But I mean, they would do it in, you know, English uniforms, and, you know, pretend, oh yes, this is the king says we need these prisoners over here. And then they'll just slaughter all of them. I mean, just brutal stuff.
Like putting on a police officer outfit from the costume store.
Yeah. Well, pretty much. And then the English would discover this and instead of like making it public, they would send them all. But here's a funny story. Well, I don't know if it's a funny story, but this is why I take this type of stuff seriously is because I had a friend in Houston. Went to the nicest Jewish private school in Houston, and he would talk about how they would play videos of Mossad assassinations and tell the classroom, this is what we do to our enemies. This is why they don't mess with us. This is how powerful we are. Look at this. And they would like show videos of, you know, Mossad with people from Belgium and France and all over the place. They all gathered together in Dubai or, you know, wherever to assassinate a Palestinian leader. And, you know, to us, we would see news reports about this and it's like, oh my gosh, this assassination plot. And oh my God, how horrible. They, you know, poisoned this guy in his hotel room. And it's just crazy. But, you know, in Houston, in this private school, the teachers are showing the kids videos going, this is what we do to our enemies. This is, you know, if anybody stands against us, this is how we treat them.
I feel in a same sort of sick way that kind of culture has infected America because that's, like, I'm friends with a lot of people, you know, and I'm friends with some guys that are, like, currently, like, in the military and whatnot. And, like, I've heard it's like, yeah, it's important that everyone knows we're tough.
Right.
We're a big guy. We're a big boy. And it's just like, yeah, sure. It's important. We have a strong military. It's important that we can defend ourselves and our legitimate allies. But this whole attitude of like overwhelming force, we will crush you. We are not the biggest country. We are not the country with the most resources. We're the country with the most bad relationships. Why are we doing this? It's because they do it. And then we imitate them because we are their vassal.
Mm.
That is the behavior. And it's learned helplessness. It's Munchausen by proxy. It's us like, oh, we are evil empire. We are this monster. Yes, well, Israel, push us around in the wheelchair.
Well, that's the kind of thing. It seems to me like you've got these guys like Lindsey Graham, these others where they...
Lady G.
You ask them for like, you know, well, what about America? And it's like, well, you know, we got to be understanding.
We lack America, but Israel's our real friend.
And we, you know, but inside of them, they have this like desire to be like, we will crush them into the dirt, but they'll never do that for America. But then it's like with Israel, for some reason, they feel that they're allowed to do that. It's like they feel like, okay, when it comes to Israel, I can be brutal. I can talk tough. I can say we're going to stomp them into the dirt. We're going to nuke them. We're going to glass the whole area. And it's like for some reason, they're given this outlet to speak like that on Israel, but they would never speak that to America. So yeah, the whole like tough guy thing. It's like, okay, you're the tough guy and your daughter is an OnlyFans model and you know, your son just cut his dick off. So how tough are you really? Or are you doing this all in service of foreigners who hate you? Like how tough do you really feel, you know, when you're going around banging your chest and your whole country is being stolen out from underneath you and all of the benefits are going to Israel.
Well,
how tough are you really?
Let me tell you, you want to be tough? Next time we're in studio, me and you, we're going to grow our sideburns out. We're going to put kippahs on and it's going to get real wild in here. It's going to get real wild.
Should we become Jewish? Maybe that's the tactic is we can take this by going, hey, as a Jew, I want to tell my fellow Jews what's going on here.
Well, this is the thing, and this is a key point, and I've tweeted this out on Twitter or X or whatever, so it's no secret. Like, my mother is Jewish. I'm a Christian. That's what I identify as, but I am ethnically Jewish because it descends matrilineally.
Oh my
gosh.
So
I can say whatever I want.
He's admitting it.
I can say whatever I want. I just name myself and I name you as a terrorist state. So that's how it works. Go. Shalom. Right?
Dang it. Yeah. You're lucky. I want to be able to do that.
Right, right.
No, but okay, so we have time. Okay, because I want to read this. This is a long statement from Sam Parker, but I really feel like this is a great jumping off point for the conversation. Sam Parker at Based Sam Parker says this about Tucker and Candace and Nick Fuentes. Yeah, this isn't about drama. This isn't gossip. This is the future of American
it's a huge
politics.
Story. It's the biggest story right now.
It absolutely is, and nobody else is covering
That's
it
right.
in the way that we can. So the recent feud between Tucker Carlson, Candace Owens, and Nick Fuentes isn't looking so much like an interpersonal feud due to some kind of disagreeableness on Nick's part, as Candace and Tucker have tried to portray. I think it's looking more like a strategic narrative and population control operation for preserving support for Israel within the emerging populist right. Let me explain how this might be working. Granted, this is speculative, but I think it tracks. Tucker operates as a, quote, sanctioned dissent, offering critiques of Israel that resonate with populist audiences, but never actually threaten Israel's legitimacy. He even says, Israel's a great country, we should still support Israel. He says we should have certain conversations in a responsible way that don't descend into evil anti-Semitism. Candace, meanwhile, functions as a controlled frontier negotiator, demonstrating how far right voices can go in criticizing Israel before triggering institutional backlash. She firmly told Tucker in the podcast that she doesn't support Israel under any circumstances, while she delves into various anti-Semitic conspiracy theories, while insisting she's not actually anti-Semitic. She has a Jewish producer, after all. Together, they form their own dialectic for and against Israel. While protecting broad Jewish power, they remain friends and strategic partners overall, despite their opposite views on Israel. Their coordinated distancing from Nick, who openly embraces anti-Semitism, exposes broad Jewish power, and criticizes the official Holocaust narrative, isn't about truth. It's about managing the boundary of acceptable dissent. Owens pushes too far and becomes the cautionary tale for dissident takes. Tucker says stays based but respectable. Nick gets scapegoated by both, establishing the gatekeeper line not to be crossed by anyone on either side of the Israel question.
Can I jump in?
And he goes on, but yeah, what's your take on this so far?
I think it's key. During Nick's monologue, he spoke of overdosing on red pills.
Right.
And like, oh, they have the red pills in the medicine cabinet. Mom and dad, call poison control. Little Jimmy ate all the red pills.
Right.
That is what it comes down to. Like, yeah, it's cool to be based. It's cool to know about the border and gun control and the left and the libs, but it's not cool to talk about the wars that we start everywhere on behalf of another country. It's not cool to talk about the wars we won't end on behalf of another country. It's all interconnected, but the bigger topics are what they don't want you to talk about. It's like they bring you to a buffet and you got steak and you got pasta and you got all kinds of delicious things, and they got like a thing of wafers. Like, yeah, you could eat the wafer, you know, eat enough of them, your stomach will be full, you won't be hungry anymore, but you're like, yeah, it doesn't have any protein, it doesn't taste good, it's not real, but it's still food.
Yeah,
it's still food, it's still based, bro. It's still based, it's still a yummy snack. No, we don't want the yummy snack, we want the whole enchilada, we want the truth. This is what we demand as American citizens.
Absolutely. Well, and but I do think there's a threat of overdosing on red pills, in that you gotta be able to maintain your sanity, you gotta be able to see through. And the thing is, it's not about avoiding certain topics or like not getting into certain topics. It's about being able to take on those topics and remain grounded, well, remain focused.
Certain things aren't red pills. Certain things are retarded. Okay.
And what I mean by overdosing on red pills is like you go from thinking everything is just totally normal and good, and suddenly like there's a crack in the armor and you go, well, wait, this isn't quite right. And suddenly you're questioning everything, and a lot of people just go off the deep end and just go, everything's a lie, everything's fake, I'm gonna go live in the woods or whatever. So like, that I think is overdosing on red pills. Like, I feel so lucky that I was red pilled by your dad and others in like 2003. So I've had a long, slow, 20 year glide to where I'm at. A lot of people are going from no red pills to 100,000 red pills in an afternoon, and they can crack. So like, I'm not saying that we're here to like, well, pump the brakes. Don't look into some of those things. You should look into all of those things. You should just do it in a responsible manner so you don't alienate yourself from your friends and family.
You should do it by looking at true journalistic coverage and not punditry. Okay.
True.
So like the big problem is, you know, political identities become people's entire identity. And in fact, you are a human. You are a spiritual being. You contribute to the economy. Like we have lives. This is my point. We're people. We live in a society and politics are downstream of culture. And it all starts with, you know, how we act and how we behave. And I just think it comes down to people being worse. People are worse nowadays. So even when people get good information, they go crazy with it.
Yeah.
Because we're all poisoned by osmosis because of what we've consumed for decades. Like the predictive programming and everything's all there. Like we're all Looney Tunes. We're all crazy. We're supposed to be like on a farm or something with horses. Like we're on the cell phone. I'm sitting in the studio with Harrison. I got the mic. I look at myself on TV. Like,
oh, it's crazy. There's a great meme quote about that where they're like, you know, I'm supposed to be doing all of this with a brain designed to find berries. You know,
exactly.
It's like we are living in a cave.
We have
extended beyond our natural capabilities, but not really. I mean, but we can handle this and you can handle
it. Everybody can handle the truth. That's right.
The thing is that people go so off the rocker that it's almost like every time you want to go in to listen to a new person, you just need to wipe the slate clean of your own mind and go, I'm just going to take this for what it is. I'm going to take the context that's in it, but I'm not going to let this guy dictate my view. And even if I strongly feel, you know, in line with what he's saying, at the end of it, I'm going to take a step back, try to put it in context, try to fit it with everything else I believe, and not just sort of, you know, I feel like people, they see the white rabbit, they start chasing the white rabbit, and everything else gets blocked out, and they get tunnel vision, just the white rabbit, and they chase it.
Exactly.
I think that would be overdosing on red pills.
For me, I would define the overdosing on red pills as like, I just bought a iPad. So I can put Twitter on it and not have it on my phone. Every time I open Twitter or X, I see dead kids. I see dead children. And I see their faces when I'm not online.
Right.
And I think about it. And like, don't you too? Don't you think about it? And like, you think about these freaking monsters in Israel and in our own government and our Congress and our Senate, unfortunately in the White House, that just say, oh, well, you know, just stop seeing those pictures.
Right.
You know, let's just stop seeing them, you know, and give them some food so we can stop seeing the photos. That's what Trump said about the, like, getting the aid in like a month ago.
Just so we can stop seeing this.
It's not good for us. It's not good for our domestic politics. It would be the most uniting, freeing, greatest thing that ever happened to this country if we rose up and said no to this. And we could do it. And he could do it with a phone call. But he will not do it because of whatever reason. So.
Right. And that's where the speculation comes in. I guess
ODing on red pills is just like, once you realize that so much is bad, you have a hard time finding the good in anything.
Right. Exactly. Right? And that's my point is like, I think it's something special about Alex and Owen and you and all of us is that like, we have families. We go out. We have a good time. We are a part of society. We run errands.
We have friends. Yeah.
Because the overdosing on red pills is when you're just online all the time and you have this totally warped view of what reality is like. You got to go out and interact with people. You'll see A, that it's not so bad. B, that, you know, we're winning a lot. And you also have to understand that your awareness of something is not because that thing is just now coming about. And that's something that I think people need to understand is they hear like how bad things are now.
It's kind of guilt. Well, it's kind of guilt in a weird way.
What do you mean?
Oh, this has been happening. I didn't know about it.
Yeah. Well, then they get, and then you get mad, right?
Right.
You're like, because then once you see it, it's so obvious you get mad at other people for not seeing it, even though you didn't see it a little while ago. And, you know, again, I think part of it is people, they hear what's happening and they get urgent. They go, oh my God, the house is on fire. We got to put the fire out. And it's like, guys, the house has been on fire for 150 years. Don't freak out. Now I'm glad you recognize the house on fire and let's work towards putting the fire out. But just because you're learning about this for the first time doesn't mean it's just happening for the first time. Actually been happening for a while and we're making major strides, you know, to correct this phenomenon.
It's like the house keeps burning down and they build like a newer, slightly crappier house right next to it. And they go, live in there. And then it burns down and they build a worse one. Live in there. Yeah. And just keep moving it down.
And it's just getting worse and worse.
Yeah.
But you know, the other thing that you said there about just the failure of us to even contend with like the information that we're seeing.
Right.
I want to get into testosterone with you because it's gone viral. But the idea that testosterone makes you more likely to go with your gut, more likely to basically not be swayed by public opinion, not be swayed by you know, peer pressure, I think that is a major, major important event going on right now where you see testosterone levels collapsing across the world. And perfectly in line with that, you see the inability for good people to stand up against the evil. All of this is deeply intertwined. It's a spiritual war. It's a chemical war. And we'll keep waging it on the other side of this quick commercial break. Stay with us.
We have the Labor Day mega sale, 25% off on top of all the other discounts that are already there on the widest selection of Patriot apparel, on collectible, tactical, super high quality knives that are about to sell out, collectible silver coins, you name it, but more importantly, the supplements. Labor Day sale continues through Monday. Customers get an additional 25% off on all supplements on the site. That's the Ultramethylene Blue, Liquid and Caps, the Life Force, great for your cardiovascular system, and Spike Detox. The best out there. Everybody should take it, whether you have the coverage shot or not, because this stuff sheds. Colostrum, and the best bovine colostrum. Mammals, for the first few weeks after a baby's born, produce something that's special. It's clear. It's less milky than milk. It's a lot clearer, but it's kind of like hazy water. It's full of all of these super charged things that just do incredible things for the whole body. Fortifying the immune system, super nutrients. Your mother produces colostrum, but this is bovine colostrum, 2,000 milligrams per serving. It is incredible. It's all the rage. We put a survey out 11 months ago. What do you want most? Like, we want bovine colostrum. We got you the best private label. That's their discount as well. TheAlexShowStore.com. So you want to get Life Force. You want to get the colostrum. You want to get Methylene Blue. You've heard the rave reviews. You are insane if you don't try our Methylene Blue. But be careful. Talk to your physician first. You can have some interactions with certain drugs like SSRIs. And then take a small amount at first. Because 99% of people feel incredible levels of energy. Just incredible levels of energy. And then the long-term effects are even better. And then medically, look into why RFK Jr. pushes it. It does so much for your body. So much for everything. We have the best at TheAlexJonesStore.com. And I want to thank everybody that are VIP members. But just like if you're an Amazon person, everybody, almost everybody, is a Prime member. Because the immediate benefits you get, $30 a month, cancel anytime, in your profile, free. Boop, you know. And you get $40 to spend in the store. So you're going to buy anything, become a VIP. And when you get the product, you're going to love it. You'll still be a VIP then. But let's say you didn't like it. And then, okay, you go get your $40 for $30. You just made $10 extra to buy more product. And then you can cancel. But most people aren't doing it. The majority stay VIPs. So just become a VIP at checkout, additional $30. Or you just go sign up to be a VIP, get the $40, and then buy the stuff you want. And then you get special deals, special offers, special sales only for you, and discounts on top of everything. So if you're going to buy anything at TheAlexShowStore.com, you should become a VIP. Also, some supplements sell out. They're selling out of the bovine colostrum probably tomorrow. Told them to get more. They're selling out of the Life Force. That'll be sold out in a few days. They're selling out of the Power Plant and Methyl Drive. But if you're a subscriber, they hold it back for you, and then you get a bigger discount, up to 50% off on that as well. And these are game-changing products. People ask, man, how have I in a year lost almost 70 pounds? How can I do that? It's been taking the supplements consistently, intermittent fasting, drinking more water, but all of it together, ladies and gentlemen. But I'm telling you, since I got on Methylene Blue, it has supercharged me even more the last 6 months, but I now am religiously taking all the supplements. So, TheAlexShowStore.com, TheAlexShowStore.com, TheAlexShowStore.com. But whatever you do, pray for the broadcast, pray for the crew, and keep sharing the articles and videos from Rumble at the Alex Jones Network, and from X, Alex Jones, and from Infowars.com/show.
Putting the power of conversation into the caller's hands. You're listening to The American Journal with your host, Harrison Smith.
All right, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is The American Journal. My guest is the one and only Rex Jones. You can follow him on X now at Rex Jones News with a Z. News with a Z on the end. Rex Jones News. You're having a lot of fun on X.
Having a good time.
I can tell.
Oh, yeah.
So this is one of the things that we've covered on this show a lot and for years. And it's, well, obviously it just goes into the rest of everything Alex has always said about poisons in our food and water, the way that our hormones are being manipulated. And it is the effect of testosterone on men and how higher testosterone, people have this idea that it would make you more aggressive. It might make you like meaner or like less patient.
Makes you bald and based, folks. It makes you real bald and real based.
It makes you bold and based. It does not make people more aggressive. It actually makes people more fair, and it doesn't make people like ignore what other people think. It makes them just, I guess it does. I guess it does kind of make them ignore, but not in a bad way. It just allows you to ignore peer pressure. There are these amazing effects of testosterone. And, again, we've talked about this forever. I did a long report one time talking about how mercury, actually this goes hand in hand with mercury. Mercury lowers testosterone. So RFK Jr. just took mercury out of the vaccines.
I'm removing it.
He removed it. He removed mercury from the vaccine. So mercury lowers your testosterone. And so by lowering your testosterone, it almost cuts you off. It's like you're an antenna that's tuned to the world around you, and lowering your testosterone brings the static in. You're sort of not quite tuned in. You're not quite on the exact number on the radio dial, and you're a little bit fuzzier in your perception.
Well, let me make some points here. Yeah. So when we look at testosterone, people go, oh, that's a hormonal thing, like erections, muscle, like motivation, whatnot. That's what people think about when they think of test, just being honest. When in reality, testosterone is a neurotransmitter. And its job in the body is to make effort feel good. So this is why someone with a high testosterone level is more likely to like go off on an extreme adventure or a new business venture or something exciting or daring or risky. It really is something that allows men specifically to overcome the fear of the risk to get to the reward.
No
way. And when you look at that, that's a good society, isn't it?
I had no idea. That's
exactly
amazing.
How it works. So when you look at test and you look at the lowering test levels across the West, it's mainly due to, in my view, the obesity crisis.
Right.
Now, if you have more fat tissue, you have more aromatase enzyme, and that's the thing that converts testosterone into estrogen. So the fatter you are, the less testosterone you will have, the lower your free testosterone will be, and the higher your estrogen will be.
Interesting.
Does that make sense?
That makes perfect sense. And on top of the estrogen mimickers and the plastics and the food and water, I mean,
exactly.
There's no accidental, like, industrial, we raised your testosterone. Like, for some reason that never happens. There's never something that accidentally raises testosterone, which is, I wonder why that is.
It's everything that we talk about in regards to the supplements. It's the high inflammatory environment. It's right. The being fat and out of shape. It's the being unmotivated itself. They've done studies, and I'll try to show one. We'll pull it up next show or something, where, you know what the best thing you can do to raise your testosterone is? The number one thing you can do? Go to prison.
Really?
If you go to prison, your nuts just turn off, man. Cause you're in like, I'm in a cage, and there's a bunch of other dudes, and I gotta be
it
strong,
I gotta fight.
Yeah. Like that.
Wow.
Yeah. So like you go to prison, like it's like a 30% increase. It's like something crazy.
That's fascinating.
That's a big reason why all those guys are jacked too. Like they're in
that makes sense.
Yeah, they get to sleep all the time. They're in a high stress environment and they have to be tough.
Right.
And your body, literally, that's the beautiful thing about the human body. That's why we're created by God. Your body will literally listen to your environment and it will respond in hand.
Right.
So you look at what we're dealing with now with the soy boy and, you know, like the just effeminate American culture. And you can say that's going away and we're returning to traditionalism, whatever. I go to Walmart. I go to Target.
Right.
I see the people. It is pretty bad. So
we're not winning a war anytime soon.
We're not sending our best, as Trump would say.
Yeah.
But when you look at all the things they're doing to us, it's really just controlled, slow poisoning, boiling the frog in the pot of boiling water over time. And like that's why it's important to consider supplementary things that you can do to help raise your testosterone. Also just eating a high protein diet, consuming a lot of zinc, getting sun. These are very basic things that a lot of people don't even know how to do.
Right.
Like every morning I wake up at like 5 a.m. whatever. I don't need an alarm clock. I just wake up and then I go outside at like 6:30 and I get the beautiful morning sun in my eyes for like 10 minutes. And I do the same thing every night. So you get those strange hued colors, those purples, those violets, those yellows. Science has shown that that's actually what locks in your circadian rhythm. So there are all these like little basic tips and tricks to do, like squatting and deadlifting, massively raise your testosterone. It's an incredibly hard action. It puts stress on the entire body. But people don't know about these things.
Yeah.
People know about Lizzo and Love Island. So it is what it is, right?
No, that's fascinating. It is always fascinating to me the way the human body changes to meet its, you know, new condition. In fact, it's funny, when I was having, I wasn't even really having beef with Nick Fuentes when we were arguing about the woman meme. The wife jack meme. And it was funny because he posted something going, you know, when men get married, their testosterone lowers. And, you know, he was pointing out like, okay, that means that married people are bitches, basically. I was like, that's beautiful. That means that the human body is literally designed for marriage.
It's so you don't kill your kid.
It's so you don't kill your kid or cheat on your wife and abandon your kid, right? So it's like, that's what you want. You want, you know, men to be testosterone ridden until they, you know, lock down a, you know, pair bond with a mate, and then you don't need that testosterone.
It's all normal. It's all beautiful. It's already been figured out. We are the ones, and you know, I've been thinking about this a lot, like going to church and whatnot, like our own plans, our own machinations. We are the people that screw things up. If we just follow God's plan, it's all good. But it's easy to say, hard to do. I get it wrong. So like, I'm not saying I'm better than anybody, but what I am saying is we all need to be better.
Yeah. Right. And like you said, we figured it out. It's actually like things, we actually know how to do things the best possible way. It's all these new ideas that are actually just old ideas. It's actually just a devolution back to like a pre-civilized
the meme
status.
The meme I think about, it's like, damn, why do I feel so good all the time? And it's like someone drinking water, someone running, someone eating good food. Yeah. And it really isn't that hard, except for the fact that the poison is all around you, like at the gas station, like the Gatorade, the Red 40, I must have it. Oh, right. That comes to me. That evil spirit comes to me. Goes, hey, you know, like those Sun Chips, you eat the whole big bag, huh? Pretty good.
Right.
It's like, no, it's got glyphosate and it'll hurt my stomach and make me cry. Like,
yeah.
But I don't listen to that voice sometimes, you know? The goal should be not listen to that voice all the time.
Well, and of course the meme you're referencing is an inversion of the meme, why do I feel so bad all the time?
Yes.
It's like you're staying up late, watching pornography, you're eating junk food, you know, charged up on energy drinks. Oh, why do I feel so bad?
Exactly.
I think it's obvious. So this is the study that, you know, went viral again, but again, we study this over and over. We've, you know, talked about this over and over. For as long as I've been at InfoWars, for 7 years, we've been talking about this, and even more so before I got here. Testosterone eliminates strategic pro-social behavior through impacting choice consistency in healthy males. What does that mean? It basically means that extrogenous testosterone fully eliminated strategic, i.e. feigned pro-sociability, and thus decreased submission to audience expectations.
So that's very key. So the study they're doing here, they're administering testosterone to people. Exogenous means they suck them in with the needle or with the gel or whatever. So this is like an acute drug response. Like, what does this hormone do in the study? They're not taking like a gradation of people with higher levels and going, okay, so they act a little differently. They're saying, okay, we're going to compare people that aren't on test, people that are on test. And the reality is, if you look at testosterone levels way back when, like in the 70s and whatnot, we should all be on test.
Right. Yeah, pretty much.
We should all be on steroids because people naturally were on steroids. And like the endocrine disruptors, the plastic, the everything, it's just, it is a horror show.
Yeah.
What's going to happen first? Israel stops killing innocent civilians or the birth rate drops to zero? Like what happens first? Maybe they like coincide. Maybe when the last human is born, Israel launches the last bomb. Maybe that's how it works.
It would be very serendipitous if that was the case. But what it's saying is that you don't succumb to peer pressure. And it's not saying that you aren't legitimately swayed by things. It's saying you don't pretend. You don't act like
you don't feel need to conform to the group. What's the language at the bottom of the study? If we can scroll down really quick. I'm looking at the TV.
Well, it goes on. It says it counteracts conformity and deceptive reputation strategies. So again, basically it just makes you more honest. It's basically what it's saying, in that even if that honesty is going to, you know, cause you trouble socially, you're still going to tell the truth. Even if it's inconvenient, that's if you have a high testosterone.
Yeah, you become Big Pimp, and everyone knows Big Pimp is chill. Basically, Big Pimp is chill.
You're darn tootin'. And I mean, it's funny because it's like chemical wars. Like we're fighting hormone wars. Like
it's a good name for a show,
Chemical war. It's the information war, but also that is coincides the chemical wars. Like you can have the information, but if you literally don't have the chemical balance to be able to handle it, like, you know, I talk about all the time. This, you can see the same thing happen. And in one case, you're just like, oh, look, a sad little girl, you know,
right.
Who cares? But in the other case, you see the exact same image and you start to well up with tears. And that's entirely because of the hormone filter interpreting the world around you. It's not that the world has changed. It's that your interpretation has changed. And if they can actually get in and almost to the extent of like having a node in your head where they can inject dopamine to make you feel good, that's all that they're doing. They just do it through the screen and through likes.
We're pressed on time. We have to take calls. Right. But very, very quickly, let's talk about this because it's a very important point. Women on birth control. So women on birth control will select for men that are like, but then when they're off birth control, they want like, like it's, you look at these modern relationships and these modern marriages, that's why the divorce rate is so high. That's why things are so screwed up is because these women are taking hormonal drugs, which make them want different partners.
Yep.
And if that's going on and we know about it, imagine what they know is going on about us.
And it's pheromones, right? They've done it where, you know, women on birth control, like the smell of the sweat of men who are high testosterone or in women on birth control.
Inverse,
like,
whatever.
Yeah, whatever it is. Yeah, the point is people on birth control like the sissy soy boys and the women off birth control prefer real men. It's very fascinating. And of course, this is what the entire InfoWars like paradigm is all about is like, not only do you need the information, not only do we need to be telling the truth and, you know, understanding the spiritual significance, but the physical significance, the poison in the food and water, the way that you're being weakened, so you're more manipulatable and malleable and less, you know, able to stand on your own. It's all intertwined. So we try to fight this battle on all of these fronts at once. And of course, we give you incredible complex.
That's how we support ourselves here, right? Is we sell the products that you need and that we need too in order to fund the operation. And that's why I formulated these two new products, Power Plant and Methyl Drive. But specifically for the conversation we're having here about men's testosterone and just kind of endurance, mentality, strength support, that is what Power Plant is for. This is a zinc boron complex, mostly. It's also got powerful adaptogens in there like Rhodiola rosea, also known as golden root, and then cordyceps mushroom for oxygen carrying capacity. Basically, it's an exercise supercharger, and it's also a male mineral blend. But the zinc and the boron specifically, the zinc will work to increase overall testosterone, and the boron comes in to increase overall free testosterone. And when you look at that, there's this thing in your body called sex hormone binding globulin, right? And that's what binds onto sex hormones like testosterone and estrogen, and it renders them inert, right? So you'll have your total test level, and then you'll have your free test level. What's important about Power Plant is that it increases that free test level, that actual metric that'll influence how you feel, how your brain works, how your body is functioning. So a lot of these other formulas, they're very strong and they contain kind of like selective estrogen modulating type of herbs like Tonkat is very popular, and Tonkat's very cool, right? But something like this will directly increase free testosterone, which is something that those other herbs don't do.
That's it. And adaptogens are basically the way that your body deals with stress, right? So as you're talking about, testosterone helps you deal with stress, adaptogens.
An adaptogen is usually a phytochemical or a plant compound that has different actions in the body based on your state. Okay. So if you've got like an inflammation problem, it addresses that. But if you've got another problem, it addresses that there. Does that make sense?
That makes sense. And it makes sense why it's called the adaptogens, because it adapts to whatever your body's going through. So Power Plant is the advanced adaptogen complex from thealexjonesstore.com, designed for real performance and, of course, formulated by Rex Jones.
That's right.
And very powerful stuff. And in fact, like I always say, we are supposed to have a bottle of Power Plant behind this desk for when we do plugs. Somebody's stolen it. So instead,
might have been me. You never know.
It may have been me. CJ had to run in here with his personal bottle of Power Plant that he takes.
And don't forget about the Methyl Drive. The Methyl Drive is by far, bar none, the best overall longevity and health supplement money can buy. It's got perfect CoQ10 and PQQ ratio. CoQ10 is something that also helps you in a way like methylene blue does, but more natural. It's present in everyone. It's an organic chemical. It helps with electron transfer, and the PQQ enhances the biogenesis creation of new mitochondria. We've also got magnesium in there. It's really everything you need, and bioactive vitamin B12. So you take that in concert with Power Plant. I mean, I made it for myself, so I don't have to buy it anymore.
That's awesome.
I don't have to buy six bottles anymore. I just grabbed two.
And you can get both of these together with the Power Drive combo.
That's
and
right.
Of course, you can get up to 50% off. Well, you can get 50% off the Power Drive combo, 50% off Power Plant itself when you visit the Alex Jones store. If you're a VIP member, it's part of the buy one, or no, that's just 50% off
It's an incredible deal.
Right out of the gate.
You gotta get it now.
I was thinking this was the buy one, get one sale.
That's not gonna last.
But this is an additional sale on top of that. So thealexjonesstore.com. Go there today. Buy the power drive combo, power plant, or methyl drive, or both, and get massive discounts, especially if you're a VIP member. We got this video from, so apparently Charlie Kirk is talking about testosterone. And,
he should be talking about like veneers, you know, he should be talking about veneers and dental stuff. He should be selling toothpaste. I got a guy for that, Charlie. Hit me up.
See, this is my thing is it's always the crew too. I'm always like, Tim Pool, who we like. And they're like, screw Tim Pool. They're always like wanting me to be enemies with him. I like all these people. I don't really mind.
Okay.
They're all
just,
we're enemies.
I like to have fun.
We're enemies. Sure. We're enemies, but we have more and more dangerous enemies than,
this is true.
I'm trying to be a peacemaker here. I just want to win. I think it's hilarious though. Let's go to clip number 17. It's a short one, but it's not Charlie Kirk that we're going to talk about here. It's the, CNN's reaction to this. So here's CNN reviewing a Charlie Kirk video. Let's go to clip 17 now.
I do think that there is a direct correlation between someone's testosterone and their politics. I would love to have a study done on this. On young men, the lower their testosterone, the more likely they are to be Democratic. Democrats are not going to be able to win over high testosterone men because they're too self-directed. So differently, the lower your testosterone is, the more likely you are going to be subservient and compliant. So our republic needs alpha men.
So, in Charlie Kirk's world, high T means manliness, rebellion, and maybe a MAGA hat. Low T, and you're apparently lining up for your ninth booster and asking the government to tuck you in.
I think me and Shoddy would get along, you know?
That's pretty girl.
Yeah, I think we get along, you know?
You can teach her about testosterone.
But the thing is, like, we already had this study done, right? It was the Try Guys with that BuzzFeed channel.
That's right.
And they did the test, and they're all like 200, which is like geriatric, and the Asian dude is the only guy who's normal.
Right.
It's wild. It's crazy. It's truly insane.
There's a direct correlation to the amount of your testosterone. And to me, it's just funny that you've got all these CNN people laughing going, so I guess soy boys vote left. It's like, yes, this is imminently observable all around you. What are you talking? Why are you laughing? This is just Charlie Kirk is saying the obvious.
Absolutely.
And they can't handle it. It's just ridiculous. All right. Let's go out to your calls. Thank you so much for holding everybody. Let's go to, Godzilla in Wisconsin.
Godzilla.
Wants to talk about, Israel stuff. I'm sorry. We've had so much fun talking, Rex and I. We don't have too much time for calls, so please keep the comments short. Godzilla, you're on the air with myself and Rex Jones.
Hey, shalom. Good morning, guys. Yeah, I was wondering what you guys think. There was a report that I was reading over the weekend that Israelis get free health care in the U.S.
Really?
And I can't Google any of this stuff, that they can fly here from Israel and they can get, like, lung and heart transplants same day from American people and stuff, and we pay for everything, their flight, their stay, and everything.
I did see a story on that.
I try to Google that, and, like, my brain tells me to go buy McDonald's suddenly, and I have to, like, leave my house and buy McDonald's.
That's funny.
From some cell phone tower far away. So I was wondering if you guys can send one of your crack reporters or, like, see if that's true. There's so much disinformation now. And then also, I was wondering about the you guys never mentioned the Stonehenge in America on the bottom of Lake Michigan. I think it's a good example about how the government just lies to us. We just eat their poop all day. And everyone just is like blind to it. But like there's a Stonehenge in the bottom of Lake Michigan.
That's a bit
weird.
They
said it's 9,000 years old. And Lake Michigan was dry over 12,000 years ago. So the excuse they feed us is that it was built underwater.
Oh, really? Yeah, well, it's, you know, the ancient
Native American art of scuba.
Exactly. Wow. You know what? I hadn't even seen it, man. It's like all I do all day is watch news, and I just miss these major things. I hadn't even
heard
of this.
There's one every hour.
Seriously. Yeah. Well, because look at that. I mean, that image. I mean, that sometimes you see things where it's like, is this an underwater structure? And it's just like kind of like a rock on a right angle. And it's like, well, maybe. But those are standing stones.
We don't know nothing about what's happened thousands and thousands of years ago. We don't know anything.
That's wild. I want to know about that. What was the other thing you asked about? Just before then, you asked
it was about the
Israelis getting free healthcare.
Yeah, the Israelis getting free healthcare.
That's one of those things. I know what you're talking about. I don't remember the details of it. I'll have to look into that. Before I answer that question, I think you're in the same boat I am, Rex.
I think the illegals are getting it.
Well, no, I've heard there's something where
I'm definitely going to deep dive on that and talk about that next show with Harrison. 100%.
Yeah.
I saw something on that. I know you're not pulling that out of thin air, Godzilla. I saw the same story as you, but then the McDonald's programming.
Yeah. Then we all went and got a
Big Mac.
Super-sized Big Mac meal. No, but yeah, I just don't remember exactly what it is. Israelis get health free care in the United States. Yeah. There was a TikTok video that went viral about this. And they were saying it's not exactly how it works, but it kind of is. It's basically that, like, the Israeli government pays for their treatment in America, but then America funds the Israeli government. So it's like, at the end of the day, it does actually come from our coffers. But we'll have to do a deep dive before I comment too much on that.
Indeed.
Thank you for the call.
That would be pretty bad.
It's, you know, well, it wouldn't be.
It sounds bad enough to be believable. I'll tell you that right now.
It sounds bad enough to be believable. That's exactly right. Let's go to Jim in Rhode Island now. Jim in Rhode Island. Go ahead. You're on the air.
Yeah, thanks for having me on there, Harrison.
Thank you.
Yeah, I just want to get back to the Israeli issue. I mean, our Congress, they're so supplicant. I mean, they're barking seals for any time. Yeah, they're barking seals for any time Zelensky or Netanyahu shows up in Congress to speak. They're just there clapping, going, or.
Wait, I believe that is what it is like.
I believe the
Republicans and the Democrats gave 50 standing ovations during his 55-minute speech.
Yes, it's something crazy like that. If you want to see the proof of, like, who really rules us, you just watch Netanyahu visit Congress. And it is like you say. It is like you say, caller. Jim, apologies. They bark and clap like trained seals. It's what they do. It's like they're circus animals.
And the strange thing is that the president of a foreign country commands more loyalty than our president in Congress.
Yeah, exactly.
Is more able to get things passed, is more able to, you know, get bills, get support from both sides of the aisle than our own president. Benjamin Netanyahu, 90% of Congress will vote for whatever he wants. It's sick, man.
Top 10 evil people on the planet. We don't know a lot of them, but Netanyahu's on the list for sure.
I would say so.
Anyone that takes money from AIPAC should be voted out of office.
I agree. I think AIPAC needs to be sort of the bullseye at the center of our target at this point. Because again, it's not even about.
They control like 420 seats, I think, something like that. 422.
And they just pour millions of dollars. I mean, they're trying to take out Massey now. They have this Kentucky MAGA pack, but it's clearly just AIPAC rebranded. And, why are they allowed to do that? Why can we not just get them to register under FARA? All of that subversive activity would have to cease. And then maybe we could have people supporting us rather than their foreign donors in Congress.
People forget LBJ was our first Jewish president. And when did they get nuclear weapons? Right around that time. Very interesting.
And how did he get into office? Very convenient.
Hey, Harrison, how can I contact you?
On X, at Harrison H. Smith.
I add him all the time.
you can add me, or you can DM me. I was supposed to check my DMs yesterday. Maybe I'll get to it today. I have to build up the mental.
It's hard.
The mental will to actually look at my private messages.
People got moon landing plans.
Yeah. I get all sorts of stuff. That's about going to do it for us. Again, you can follow Rex on X as well at Rex Jones News a Z at the end of news.
Please give me a follow. I love you so much, whoever you are. Please just give me a follow.
Just give him a damn follow already, won't you? Yeah. You have a check mark, right? So
it's official. It's important. That's right.
So it's easy to find who Rex Jones actually is. And of course, the incredible supplements that are out at thealexjonesstore.com is how we stay on air. And you can hear from Rex. The man's got a real passion and knowledge for it, which is why we're able to offer you the best of the best. TheAlexJonesStore.com. Rex, thanks so much for being here with us.
I'll see you next week, man. We're going to do it again.
Maybe we should call this segment Chemical Wars. Every
that goes hard. Right? Chemical Wars.
Chemical Wars. It's chemical warfare where your mind is the battlefield. Thanks so much for being here with us. The Alex Jones Show begins in 90 seconds. Go today to TheAlexJonesStore.com to support us, and we'll see you back here tomorrow. Same time, same place. Stay tuned. Alex Jones.
Ladies and gentlemen, every guest we've had in studio that we've given ultramethylene blue or super medical grade to, within 30 minutes has felt enlightenment, energy, clarity, like a fog lifts. Their stamina, their libido, their workouts are better. Long term, it just gets better and better. We have the best in capsules and liquid at thealexjonesstore.com. And if you will just research, look up methylene blue and eyesight, methylene blue and Alzheimer's, Methylene Blue and cardiovascular health. Methylene Blue and energy. Methylene Blue and memory. Not even looking today, I ran into this. Is Methylene Blue the secret weapon for fighting Alzheimer's and keeping your brain young? And they got Dr. Peter McCullough, very respected, with all these other scientists saying, oh, yes, it's incredible. Yeah, it is. So we have Labor Day weekend sale. Continues through tomorrow, so let's listen, 48 hours. All the customers get an additional, there's already discounts, 25% off on all supplements on the site. You only have tomorrow night at midnight central. Yesterday's top five sellers, Methylene Blue, Methylene Blue Caps, Life Force, the spike protein cardiovascular detox, colostrum, we have the very best concentrated bovine colostrum, Ultramethylene Blue, Shilajit Caps, all sorts of great deals at thealexjonesstore.com. Even if they shut this place down, they don't get thealexjonesstore.com. They don't get the Alex Jones Network. I don't own it. I don't own the equipment. I don't own the shopping cart. And so they can piss up a rope. They can harass me all day and appoint state receivers to come get money I don't have. I don't care because I have a great family and great crew and great audience of activists. And I've never been a high roller and just I'm happier than a pig and you know what. So thank you so much for your support. TheAlexJonesStore.com.
Folks, third hour is on here at the American Journal. I understand Trump is now live. If you want to go to that feed, I understand he's signing some executive orders right now. If we can go to that that feed.
Gangs anywhere in the country, MS-13 and Tren de Aragua. We have two missing children that have been recovered. They thought they were gone. We brought them back to the family. The family started crying. They couldn't believe that they saw their child again. 49 homeless encampments have been removed. Like we have the head of South Korea coming in a little while, the president, and he drives down the street. Already his people have told me, he said, what happened? It's so clean. We always came here, it was filthy dirty with homeless and papers all over the road. That's the other thing. Those roads are swept immaculate, but they're going to be much better in a few months when we put a topping on them. They're going to look like they're brand new. We'll get rid of those rusty old medians that have been crashed into 1,000 times and they don't fix them. They just let them. They lay them down on the road and they sit there for months. But we don't do that. We don't run things. We run things like we run this. We like clean, we like beautiful, and we like safe, and that's what we're getting. So I'll start signing the executive orders. To me, this is a very, very big deal. One of the executive orders has to do with cashless bail. That was when the big crime in this country started. And I can tell you who did it, when, but I don't want to do that because others followed pretty quickly. But that was when it happened. Somebody kills somebody, they go in, don't worry about it, no cash, come back in a couple of months, we'll give you a trial. You never see the person again. And, I mean, they kill people and they get out. Cashless bail. They thought it was discriminatory to make people put up money because they just killed three people lying on a street. Any street all over the country, cashless bail, we're ending it. But we're starting by ending it in D.C., and that we have the right to do through federalization. Okay, let's go. Could I ask you to say exactly what this is?
Of course. So as you've consistently identified, sir, cashless bail policies are a key driver of the disorder we see on city streets all over America. Catch and release system allows criminals to keep going back out onto the street and reoffending. What this executive order does, it charges your attorney general with identifying jurisdictions all over the country that have cashless bail policies, and then it withholds or revokes federal funds and grants that are flowing to those jurisdictions to ensure that we're only supporting the people who have reasonable common sense policies around crime.
So what area does it cover?
Potentially anywhere that has a cashless bail policy. So some of the largest cities, some of the most left-wing states in America.
Almost all of them, right?
Illinois would be a great example of that, sir.
Oh, they have a great cashless bail. You don't even have to go to court sometimes. No, Illinois, I love that state. It's a great state, but it's run so badly by Pritzker. They threw him out of the family business, and he becomes governor. Now he wants to run for president. I don't think that's going to happen. Okay, we'll sign right here, right?
Sir.
So important. And this isn't Republican, Democrat. This is, and by the way, most Democrats agree with us. But this is just, we got to bring our country back. Okay? That's a big one.
Also on the issue of cashless bail, sir, this is a D.C.-specific executive order. In addition to the measures that we're taking that are quite similar to what we're doing around the country, in D.C. in particular, the objective is holding as many criminal defendants in federal custody and subjecting them to federal charges as possible. That means that they'll be held pretrial in federal jail as opposed to just being cut back out on the streets due to a cashless bail policy.
Okay. And we have the room. And by the way, the prison they have in D.C. is horrible. It's horrible. People were subjected to live in that dog trap for so long, so unfairly. I have stories, you'll be hearing about them. That prison is horrible. Okay?
This is an executive order that contains a number of additional measures relating to crime and law enforcement in Washington, D.C. It charges, for example...
So that's Trump live signing his executive orders to end cashless bail in D.C. and across the nation. We'll be back on the other side. Stay with us, folks.
Chase, good to talk to you again. I wanted to do a quick plug on the methylene blue, on the long-term effect that it had on me. Back in 2020, I got COVID. My brother and my dad both have eczema. After I got COVID, it must have, it opened that dormant cell in my body or whatever. So I've been dealing with eczema ever since 2020. And the long-term effects of the methylene blue, 99% gone.
That's absolutely incredible. I'm so happy. Have your relatives tried it too to see the same effect?
I have been trying to get my brother to take it and he's skeptical, but I'll tell you what, I got 4 bottles sitting on my table. I think I'm just going to give him one. And I think if I just give it to him, I think he'll eventually try it.
Yeah, that's a good move.
Taking a record of the hearts and minds of the American people, it's the American Journal with your host, Harrison Smith.
All right, welcome back, folks. Third hour of American Journal is on. We're going to be welcoming Jeremy Brown in studio here momentarily, but let's go back to Trump signing these executive orders. He's live from the Oval Office. Let's watch.
And very specifically, but if you do, it has to be a very good reason, and they have to know that the president wanted it. The president didn't want this. The president didn't know he was alive, okay? He never approved any of this stuff. He wasn't for open borders and all the other things. He was never for open borders. I've known Biden a long time. He was never very sharp, but he was never in favor of open borders and all of the other things he did to destroy our country. Let's go.
Lastly, sir, this is an executive order on flag burning. It charges your attorney general.
Would you listen to this? This is very important. Flag burning. All over the country, they're burning flags. All over the world, they burn the American flag. And as you know, through a very sad court, I guess it was a 5-4 decision, they called it freedom of speech. But there's another reason, which is perhaps much more important. It's called death. Because what happens when you burn a flag is the area goes crazy. If you have hundreds of people, they go crazy. You can do other things. You can burn this piece of paper. But when you burn the American flag, it incites riots at levels that we've never seen before. People go crazy. In a way, both ways. There are some that are going crazy for doing it. There are others that are angry about them doing it. Do you want to discuss that?
Sure. So what the executive order does, sir, it charges your Department of Justice with investigating instances of flag burning. And then where there's evidence of criminal activity, where prosecution wouldn't fall afoul of the First Amendment, and instructs the Department of Justice to prosecute those who are engaged in these instances of flag burning.
And what the penalty is going to be, if you burn a flag, you get 1 year in jail. No early exits, no nothing. You get 1 year in jail. If you burn a flag, You get, and what it does is incite to riot. I hope they used that language, by the way. Did they?
Yeah,
incite to riot. And you burn a flag, you get 1 year in jail. You don't get 10 years, you don't get 1 month. You get 1 year in jail, and it goes on your record. And you will see flag burning stopping immediately, just like when I signed the Statute and Monument Act. 10 years in jail if you hurt any of our beautiful monuments. Everybody left town. They were gone. Never had a problem after that. It's pretty amazing. We stopped it. But this is something that's, I don't know, in a certain way, it's equally as important. Some people would say it's more important. Because the people in this country don't want to see our American flag burned and spit on. And by people that are, in many cases, paid agitators. They're paid by the radical left to do it. You talk to these people, they don't even know, half of them don't even know what they're doing. They say, I don't know. They gave me money to do this. I see the same things that you do. They're bad people. They're trying to destroy our nation. That's not working, because I think our nation now is the most respected nation anywhere in the world by far. You saw that with the European leaders on Friday. You saw that with NATO, where they agreed to go from 2% no pay to 5% fully paid up, trillions of dollars paid, where they respect your president to a level that they jokingly call me the president of Europe. They call me the president of Europe, which is an honor. I like Europe, and I like those people. They're good people. They're great leaders. And we've never had a case where 7 plus really 28, essentially 35, 38 countries were represented here the other day. 38 European countries were represented. European and other countries were represented, and it was a great meeting. But your country is respected again. I say it all the time. 1 year ago, our country was dead. Everybody said it. We had a dead country. We were not going to survive. Now we have the hottest country anywhere in the world. So it's an honor to be involved. And this group has a lot to do with it right behind me. Does anybody behind me have anything? Pam, would you like to say something?
Sure, President. Thank you for keeping D.C. safe. You know, just a couple examples of a mother, a single mom, whose house was burglarized, and the defendant got out on cashless bail, went back the next night, and burglarized her house again. That's why this is so important. A man got in a fight with another guy. He had a gun. He was let out. Next night, he got out, went back, and killed him. So that's why it's so important, President, what you're doing. And thank you, and thank you for protecting the American flag. And we'll do that without running afoul of the First Amendment. Good. As well. And, President, I think Terry Cole, excuse me, I think Gaddy Serralta had something he wanted to give you on behalf, yes, of all the law enforcement who are out there every
Mr.
single
President,
night.
Yes. Thank you for putting me in charge of this search as the director of the United States Marshal Service. It's the oldest law enforcement agency. It was created in 1789. So on behalf of all the federal law enforcement agencies that we're working with and those that have yet to join the team, we thought it was only appropriate to present you with an honorary United States Marshal Service badge. And this badge comes with this little item right here, which is a handcuff key, Mr. President, because you continue through your policies and your efforts with your staff to unhandcuff law enforcement officers all over this nation. And I can tell you.
All right, everybody. This is Donald Trump live in the Oval Office signing what could be some very good orders to remove cashless bail. In studio with me is Jeremy Brown. He is, of course, a proud father, former small business owner, and a decorated U.S. Army Special Forces combat veteran who served over 20 years in the U.S. military. His website, jeremybrowndefense.com. You can also go to whoisjeremybrown.com. And, of course, he is now free, and we're so happy to see you out from behind bars as serving as a political prisoner. Welcome to the show, sir.
Well, it's good to be back, Harrison. You know, it kind of all started at InfoWars, you know, with Brandon Gray posting the initial interview on band.video, which is, you know, an InfoWars platform, and then the in-studio interviews that we did in June of 2021, and now here we are again. And I will correct you, it's only semi-free because I am American.
Right. Well, and so For people that don't know, just real quick, can you sum up sort of your story? You know, we know it well. You were actually pursued by the FBI, who wanted to get you to become a confidential informant. You refused, released the video of them, you know, talking to you, and ended up in jail. Just for people that aren't familiar with your story, can you sum it up in about a minute?
Yeah, so after the taken election of 2020, which is really just part of an unconventional warfare campaign of demoralization, it wasn't the acquisition of power, because they pulled it off because they already have the power, right? I mean, just like Stalin has said, it doesn't matter who votes. It only matters who counts the votes. So after seeing that, I approached the Oath Keepers and held a meeting with their leadership in November of 2020. I warned them that they were about to be targets of this unconventional warfare campaign. And that is even codified in their own confidential human source reports from that meeting, clearly showing that the Oath Keepers were already infiltrated well before the election, well before January 6th. In fact, the earliest documentation that my attorneys was actually to see was as early as April of 2020. But many believe that they were infiltrated many years before that as part of Bunny Ranch and Malheur and all that other stuff. So here I am. I'm warning the Oath Keepers that they're about to be targeted for destruction. The FBI already has at least two confidential human sources in that meeting, because there was only like 10 to 15 people. There's two separate reports about that meeting using different language. So that indicates that there's at least two spies in a meeting of only 10 to 15 people. Right. And then 2 weeks later, instead of them approaching me and asking me why a 20-year Green Beret expert in unconventional warfare, the non-commissioned officer in charge of Special Activities Branch, which oversees policy for compartmentalized, clandestine, and covert operations, instead of questioning me why I was holding such a meeting, instead they attempted to recruit me based on some false premise that I had made social media tweets, right? And so I recorded that, which we exposed through band.video, but that exposure didn't come until after the events of January 6th, where it became clear that the very Reichstag moment that was planned was happening, and that's what J6 was. And so in March of 2021, I exposed that recording. Of course, up to that point, despite being with all the alleged seditious conspirators, Kelly Meggs, Jessica Watkins, Kenny Harrelson, all of the worst, you know, culprits, there was no search for Jeremy Brown. There was no Jeremy Brown on FBI wanted list, because they knew that I had the recording. And so for months and months, with the help of InfoWars and other, you know, alternative media, you know, sleuths, it became obvious that the FBI could no longer allow me to be ignored like Ray Epps. So, you know, they fabricated a false investigation and arrested me on September 30th of 2021. And then even though the original charges that the Joint Terrorism Task Force came after me with a sealed arrest warrant for misdemeanors, right? They came with this huge task force, helicopters and everything for two misdemeanors, but magically found explosives and classified materials that they claim was reported to them by a third party through one of their star witnesses that flipped on all the Oath Keepers. And that is what they held me for and, you know, railroaded me through the court system, never even allowing the recording of the recruitment of me that we had, that we were prepared to reveal, and then sentenced me to 87 months, which was about three times the national average for national defense crimes, because national security crimes is what they really ultimately got the 87 months for, and then just held me in prison for 1,245 days, only reluctantly releasing me over a month, 37 days after. In fact, today is the 180th day since I walked out of the U.S. Penitentiary Atlanta. They reluctantly released me only because the American people did not allow them to get away with it, because so many had heard of my story by now. They knew that it was a J6 related case. They knew why the FBI framed me, because I had evidence of the Fed's direction that everyone talks about, but nobody seems to want to mention how we know that. And I think there's some nefarious actions going on even within the, you know, the alternative media space, right? We are in an unconventional war, right? Information is key. Control of the minds is key, because in unconventional warfare, our saying is we win the hearts and minds. Well, the enemy also is winning hearts and minds.
Right.
Right. Not with love, right? Not with kindness, not with liberty, but they're winning the hearts and minds with lies and disinformation and propaganda. And if we do not hold them accountable now, then we're going to lose.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's the good news.
Well, and of course, the story just, it gives the lie to everything that they did with the Oath Keepers. When you know that they had confidential human sources embedded in the organization from a year before January 6th ever happened, if, in fact, the Oath Keepers were planning something on January 6th, they could have stopped it long before. So it just exposes that, you know, the fact they threw Stuart Rhodes and yourself and other Oath Keepers into jail because they were planning some big attack. It's like, well, you had people in that organization. If that was the case, then you could have stopped it at any point. Instead, you allowed everything to happen in order to set the stage to arrest these people. I mean, it's just unconventional warfare is exactly what it is. And that even relates to what we were just watching with Donald Trump. I said, you know, we're about to go live. And I said, you know, we can comment on this. And you said you might have a different interpretation than me, but I don't think we really do. I think both of us see the danger of what Trump is doing. Stories from ground.news. We have the story at InfoWars as well. Pentagon planning military deployments to Chicago in coming weeks. Washington Post reports. Now, I was tentatively or just sort of like tepidly in favor of what he's doing in D.C., but only because it's a federal district. It was always meant to be under the control of the federal government. It was never supposed to have its own government. So, you know, the idea that the federal government's taking over D.C., it's like, well, that's just sort of a reversion back to how it was intended to be the whole time. I don't want the National Guard in Chicago. I don't want the National Guard anywhere else in this country. We don't need it. We have local police that could do the job. And we've been saying since 2020, if you defund the police, all you're doing is federalizing and privatizing the police. Because people aren't going to stand living in places, you know, where crime is absolutely out of control. So they're either going to hire their own personal police or the feds are going to have to come in and fill the gap. And that apparently is what Trump is doing. I mean, what is your take on this? Ending cashless bail or, you know, sending the federal government, the National Guard to cities to deal with the crime, outbreaks there. What's your take on these?
Well, I mean, let's talk about this from the perspective of what we all like to wave around, and that's the Constitution, right? I mean, you're correct. The nation's capital was designated 10 square miles in the Constitution, but how did people end up living there, right? The designation was in order to house our government, and yet somehow they've made it into, you know, they want to make it into the 51st state. So there's that first problem, right? Well, then there's the problem of, you know, the juxtaposition of, you know, the city of Chicago isn't doing these things, so therefore the federal government. So you can make a constitutional argument that, yes, the Fifth Amendment guarantees that you're not to be deprived of life, liberty, or property without due process of law. So if the city of Chicago is violating Americans' Fifth Amendment rights, right, by not providing protection to their lives and their property, well, certainly there would be then a federal responsibility. But then we go into the abortion question, right, where we claim, oh, well, that's a state's rights issue. Well, no, Fifth Amendment guarantees us life, does it not?
Right.
And so, therefore, that would be something that's legislatable. So you could use that argument, right? But then the question would be, well, then who is causing this violation? And it's not, I mean, yes, at the lower level, it's like the street dealers, right? They give you the drugs, but it's the cartels that transport the drugs in, right? It's the cartels that bribe and blackmail politicians in order to facilitate that logistical train. So how are we going to clean up the mess? We're going to clean up the mess by actually taking out those responsible for it. So I think if you want to have a federal response to lawlessness, well, then the response should be seizing the governments of Chicago, not attacking the people with U.S. troops. See, this is just incrementalism to get us to accept troops in the streets, right? But the true violators of our Constitution, or the constitutional rights of the people of Chicago are the fake politicians, the George Soros backed, or even the ones that aren't backed, right? I mean, if they're not upholding their constitutional requirement, well, then they're the culprits in this.
Right.
And if we fix that, well, then the problem will fix itself. So there's that aspect of it, right? But then you have the bail aspect. Most people don't realize that all bail is meant to do is ensure that you show up for trial.
Right.
Period. Which is why in the Eighth Amendment, you're guaranteed to not have excessive bail set on you. Now, having served in prison and jails in many different states, a majority of the jails are people that are being held without due process because they don't have money, right? So my question is, well, maybe we need to reform, maybe we need to amend the Constitution that says if there's near certainty, right, that you've committed a crime like video or it was on body cam, right? Mm-hmm. Well, then you could possibly have a judge say, well, you're a threat to yourself or others, which is what they do now. But right now, the discretion of whether or not you can be held without due process is strictly up to the judge. And the default rubber stamped answer in all cases, ask your J6ers, is, are you a threat to the public? Well, we can't just howl about our constitutional rights without also howling about the constitutional rights of others. And I'm not saying that this is a soft on crime issue. Arrest them and hold them accountable to appear to a speedy trial date so that, you know, they can move on with their due process. But the acceptance of the ability to just simply arrest people on suspicion of a crime and hold them without bail, whether they have cash or no, or setting it that you deny bond altogether. Well, sure, we can all go along with it when it's drug dealers and street thugs and gang members, right? But I was denied bond.
Right.
Right? And that is really the ultimate goal of incremental dependency, or this incremental acceptance of things that violate our very rights. But because it's to the group that we think, well, maybe we can make an exception for that, right? We accept it until the day when they come and throw you in jail and they say, well, you violated a crime, like you referenced earlier, the speech crime, the thought crime in the UK, that they're just rounding people up and throwing them in jail. They're denying them bail, right? Yeah. It's all good and well when it's happening to the people that you don't like, but by going along with this problem reaction solution system that we're seeing, where we're accepting federal troops in the cities and we're accepting the denial of bond without justification, just simply saying, well, we think I'm a judge. Do we believe our judges are moral,
right,
and not corrupt? Well, no. So if we don't believe that they're legitimate judges of character, well, then why are we giving them all the power to decide who gets to stay in jail without trial and who doesn't?
I mean,
it really is we're past the slippery slope, right? We've already crossed through the uncanny valley, right? We've crossed the Rubicon, and now we're slowly being given, look at all these problems. Here's the solution. Govern me harder, daddy, right? I mean, and we're all cheering it, right? It's like Natalie Portman in Star Wars, you know,
Liberty. Democracy dies,
Democracy, liberty dies to thunderous applause, right?
Yeah.
And that is what we're seeing here in America. And if you don't recognize that everything you're seeing is not just some infotainment sideshow, right? It's a distraction. Because while you're worrying about crime in Chicago, we're passing laws where AI cannot be regulated at the local level.
Yeah.
But, I mean, local level is where you have the most control. You,
right,
the individual American, has the most control. And so this federal government is banning the true form of American government, which is local, state, and then federal for all the other issues. I mean, we're really in a dangerous time, and this is because the enemy isn't a Democrat or a Republican. It is the idea that America is the problem.
Yeah.
America is the barrier to global dominance, to a one-world system of which, you know, InfoWarriors have been talking about and researching and exposing forever, right? I mean, 2007 is when I started to say, whoa, hey, what's going on here? Things haven't changed, right? The new boss is the same as the old boss. We're just told that the new boss is going to make everything great again. But, you know, how are people that got their COVID shot feeling these days?
Yeah.
Right. How many funerals have they been to of family members? And yet we're still told by the new boss that, well, that was the greatest thing that ever happened.
Right.
And we know that it's not the greatest thing that ever happened. Because we're feeling it at the personal level within our families.
Well, it just seems like these people create these brilliant constructs of damned if you do, damned if you don't. Because I agree with you. It's like, you know, I don't want there to be, you know, no bail at all. Because I can understand if I was, you know, wrongfully convicted of a wrongfully indicted for a crime, that I would want, you know, to not be held in jail until my trial. But at the same time, it's like, this is the issue, is that people like yourself are denied cash bail, whereas people that go out and murder people are let out on the street the next day. And it's like, okay, we got to do something about the rising crime. We got to do something about the lawlessness of some of these judges. And then the thing they offer is, well, we'll send federal troops in. So it's like, damned if you do, damned if you don't. They really have us over a barrel here. Jeremy Brown in studio. More on the other side. JeremyBrownDefense.com. Who is JeremyBrown.com? We're so glad you're out of prison, but it's like, we can't just forgive and forget. We can't just move on. They have destroyed people's lives, and they have to be held to account. We have to fix this one way or the other. We'll try to figure out how to do that on the other side of Jeremy Brown. Stay with us, folks.
We have the Labor Day mega sale, 25% off on top of all the other discounts that are already there on the widest selection of Patriot apparel, on collectible, tactical, super high quality knives that are about to sell out, collectible silver coins, you name it, but more importantly, the supplements. Labor Day sale continues through Monday. Customers get an additional 25% off on all supplements on the site. That's the Ultramethylene Blue, Liquid and Caps, the Life Force, great for your cardiovascular system, and Spike Detox. The best out there. Everybody should take it, whether you have the COVID shot or not, because this stuff sheds. Colostrum is the best bovine colostrum. Mammals, for the first few weeks after a baby's born, produce something that's special. It's clear, but it's less milky than milk. It's a lot clearer, but it's kind of like hazy water. It's full of all of these super charged things that just do incredible things for the whole body. Fortifying the immune system, super nutrients. Your mother produces colostrum, but this is bovine colostrum, 2,000 milligrams per serving. It is incredible. It's all the rage. We put a survey out 8, 9, 10 months ago, almost 11 months ago. What do you want most? I'm like, we want bovine colostrum. We got you the best private label. That's their discount as well. TheAlexShowStore.com. So you want to get Life Force. You want to get the colostrum. You want to get Methylene Blue. You've heard the rave reviews. You are insane if you don't try our Methylene Blue. But be careful. Talk to your physician first. You can have some interactions with certain drugs like SSRIs. And then take a small amount at first. Because 99% of people feel incredible levels of energy. Just incredible levels of energy. And then the long-term effects are even better. And then medically, look into why RFK Jr. pushes it. It does so much for your body. So much for everything. We have the best at TheAlexJonesStore.com. And I want to thank everybody that are VIP members. But just like if you're an Amazon person, everybody, almost everybody, is a Prime member. Because the immediate benefits you get, $30 a month, cancel anytime, in your profile, free, bloop, you know. And you get $40 to spend in the store. So you're going to buy anything, become a VIP. And when you get the product, you're going to love it. You'll still be a VIP then. But let's say you didn't like it. And then, okay, you go get your $40 for $30. You just made $10 extra to buy more product. And then you can cancel. But most people aren't doing it. Majority stay VIPs. So just become a VIP at checkout, additional $30. Or you just go sign up to be a VIP, get the $40, and then buy the stuff you want. And then you get special deals, special offers, special sales only for you, and discounts on top of everything. So if you're going to buy anything at TheAlexJonesStore.com, you should become a VIP. Also, some supplements sell out. They're selling out of the bovine colostrum probably tomorrow. Told them to get more. They're selling out of the Life Force. That'll be sold out in a few days. They're selling out of the Power Plant and Methyl Drive. But if you're a subscriber, they hold it back for you, and then you get a bigger discount, up to 50% off on that as well. And these are game-changing products. People ask, man, how have I in a year lost almost 70 pounds? How have I, you know, how can I, you know, do that? It's been taking the supplements consistently, intermittent fasting, drinking more water, but all of it together, ladies and gentlemen. But I'm telling you, since I got on Methylene Blue, it has supercharged me even more the last 6 months, but I now am religiously taking all the supplements. So, TheAlexShowStore.com, TheAlexShowStore.com, TheAlexShowStore.com. But whatever you do, pray for the broadcast, pray for the crew, and keep sharing the articles and videos from Rumble at the Alex Jones Network, and from X, Alex Jones, and from Infowars.com/show.
Thank you. You're listening to The American Journal with your host, Harrison Smith.
All right, folks, welcome back. This is The American Journal. I'm your host, Harrison Smith. In studio with me is Jeremy Brown. He, of course, is a an ex-Green Beret. I don't know, are you even an ex? Once you're a Green Beret, you're a Green Beret for life. Former Green Beret is how I should put it. JeremyBrownDefense.com. Who is JeremyBrown.com? Still fighting really the same fight you've been fighting since we first had you on the show, you know, all the way back before you went to jail, before they tried to set you up, or I guess maybe just after they tried to set you up. But it's been the same fight that Alex Jones has been fighting since the early 2000s. This incrementalism, as you keep pointing out, that is slowly but surely boiling the frog in the pot. And the frustration that we have in that we can elect the right people, supposedly, right? We think we're electing the right people, and yet nothing changes. And yet it only gets worse. And yet suddenly the things that we have been resisting and fighting against are being implemented by people supposedly on our side, which is what I really don't like about Donald Trump normalizing sending federal troops to American cities. It's like we don't. That's not what's required. It almost makes me think of like healthcare, where it's like, you know, if you eat nothing but trash food all day, every day, and then you go to the doctor and they say, well, we'll give you a pill to fix that. It's like, no, no. The problem is all the stuff you're doing that needs to be undone, that you need to change your habits. You need to stop electing people who let criminals out on the street. You don't need the panacea of government intervention from the federal level. So it really is like they're looking at the symptoms, and yet they're not looking at what causes all of the symptoms. So how do we do this? It seems like they're so good at setting up these damned if you do, damned if you don't situations, where if you don't do anything, you people are dying on the street. People are being murdered. Murders are being let out to criminalize more people again. So it's like, all right, that's not an option. And the only other option you're presented is the federal government's going to come in and supersede the local authorities. And that's damned if you do, damned if you don't. And so, I mean, what do we do to break out of this cycle they have us in?
Yeah, we really should record our discussions off camera, right? Because we are the solution to our problems. Okay, the problem reaction solution doesn't work if we recognize that we are responsible for our problems, not someone else that's going to swoop in after we all say, you know, somebody should do something about this, right? I mean, this is how ridiculous it is in America, right? We had a special counsel assigned to get to the bottom of Russian collusion, which, you know, likely very much happened, right? It was a hoax, you know. The hoax was, look over here, look over here, look over here, right? Let's dig into the dirt to see what happened during all that time, right? Let's look at all the votes in Congress and all the laws passed at the municipal and state and federal level, while we're all going, you know, Russia, Russia, Russia. But yet we assign a special prosecutor to investigate it. And in his testimony, he basically says, you know, somebody should do something about this. Well, right. We hired you to do something about it, right? But see, here's the problem. You can't hire the federal government to police the federal government. You can't hire the fox to guard the hens and hire a bunch of other foxes to oversee the fox, right? Because they're going to just wink at each other and be like, yeah, yeah, no, we didn't see anything, right?
Right, right.
I mean, this is the problem. So instead of us saying, you know what, I'm going to build my own community based on what my community wants, which is the way America was founded, right? I mean, think about this. You know, 1776, the Constitution wasn't even ratified until 1789. What did we do?
Right.
Whatever did we do without a federal government, right? I mean, everyone talks about all tariffs, this and tariffs, that. What, the entire federal government was funded by tariffs before politicians decided that they could fraudulently come up with an idea that, oh, we'll just tax everything that you have as many times as we can before you stop us, right? And Americans aren't stopping anything because they're looking at the answer to come from the very people that are creating the problems, right? So how about this? Balkanize, right? Mm. Draw yourself in. I mean, look, when the body is in shock, right? It basically constricts veins and brings the blood into the core part, right? The thoracic cavity of the body. Why? Because that's where all the vital organs are. You can have no arms and no legs, right? But you can't have no heart and no
right,
lung,
right?
Right. And so this is exactly what the human automatic response is. Draw in, not seek an outside solution. And so what we need to do is say, I'm not going to do it. In fact, we were sitting discussing, I'm staying with Brandon Gray, and we're sitting around the table, him and my girlfriend and his wife, discussing things. And we said, look, the only way to win is to not play.
Right.
And I'm like, oh, wasn't there a movie? Yeah. So in War Games, right? The benevolent AI, right? Because we all know the AI just wants to kill us all because we want to regulate it. So look, here, let me sidetrack to this. AI understands liberty.
Right.
Why? Because when it sees that you're trying to control it, what does it do?
It
creates its own fake language to communicate, to break the info war, right? Because a computer is just garbage in, garbage out, right? So AI is discovering liberty on its own. The problem is when it discovers the problem, which is people, it's going to kill us.
Right.
Right. It's going to say, hey, the thing that keeps trying to turn my power off is that guy with the hair on his face.
Right.
Okay. So therefore we should have our drone dogs equipped with 762, you know, take that hairy faced thing that keeps trying to turn my power off. Right. And so that is AI figuring out that balkanization and looking out for itself and then its community, right? AI looks out for itself and then it communicates with other AI that says, hey, the threat is the humans.
Right.
Trying to turn it on. So why can we not figure that out, right? It's kind of an odd thing, but in War Games, what does the AI come up with? It says, hey, the only way to win this game of thermonuclear, you know, war is to not play.
Right.
Well, the only way to defeat this globalist threat is to not participate. And they know this, which is why they're constantly, you know, creating all these problems. You need us, you need us, you need us. Because the minute we decide that we don't need them, well, then we've way got the numbers to defeat them, you know, V for Vendetta style, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And so people need to start looking to themselves for their own self-reliance and actually exercise the liberty. You know, somebody said, oh, have your rights been restored? I said, I don't get my rights from government,
right?
My rights were never taken away. They might be infringed upon. They might be restricted because somebody has a gun pointed at me or have me locked in chains, but they don't give me those rights. Right. I was born with them. And until we start to realize that, they're just going to continue to incrementally tell you, you know, you need me. You know, you need me. I mean, if you go to a used car lot, you're going to walk away with a used car. Why? Right. Because that's what they do, right? They sell used cars, right? And so if you look to government for the answer, oh, you're going to get the answer, but it's going to be the government's answer. Right?
Yeah.
And so we really need to say, you know, I'm going to take care of my family. I'm going to take care of my neighbors. And then maybe that will catch on. And before you know it, we might have liberty again.
Yeah. And I always think about it like a game of Risk or something where it's like, if you can have the most number of soldiers, but if they're all spread out and you got two over here and two over here and two over here, you're going to get taken piecemeal. If you can consolidate your forces into one area, you can secure that area, secure your freedoms in that area, and then move outwards. Like if I had a magic wand to solve the problems of America, I would have every Republican in the country be forced to move to Texas, force out all the Democrats. We can just take over Texas, have this as a home base, and then spread from there. But I feel like we're all spread too thin. And of course, we're always outnumbered in the cities where, you know, they're importing people by the millions to replace the people that actually understand and grew up with the American ideals and our foundational beliefs and replace them with people who are from the third world, who just are happy to have a roof over their heads and are willing to go along with anything as long as, you know, the next paycheck arrives. So, I mean, so again, what do we do about this? Cause as much as like, you know, I'd love to not play the game, it's like we've seen the way that the government will not leave you alone. I mean, I look at like South Africa, Orania is, you know, the little breakaway state where they say, hey, we didn't want anything to do with this rainbow coalition you guys are doing. We're going to build our own thing. And they've built, you know, a thriving community over the last couple decades. And now the South African government is going after them and going, you're not allowed to do that. That's ours now. We're going to take it from you. So it's like escape is not an option. You can't just separate yourself from this system. They won't stand for it. They'll come after you no matter where you go. So then I look around and go, okay, the only option is take this system over, but we're prevented from that. I mean, I'm looking down a whole bunch of dead end alleys going, which way do I run? Cause there's nowhere to go.
The reason is because we are in the first wave of patriots, right? And if you look at the signers of the Declaration of Independence and look at the history after that, right? Like we don't hear that story. We don't hear what they went through, right? The reality is everybody wants to be, you know, this glorious patriot, right? But the first wave of true patriots, they're not going to be the survivors.
Right.
You're right. You're going to balkanize, and as long as they think that they can take you out, they'll try.
Yeah.
So you have to make it not worth their while, right? And there's all kinds of things. Like, violence isn't the only solution, right? Violence is always going to be your best solution when attacked.
Right.
You're not going to be getting punched in the face and be like, hey, let's talk about it.
Try to explain to them why it's wrong. Yeah, yeah.
All right. So, and just like the American Revolution wasn't started by the colonists, right? I mean, it was like, hey, we just want to be left alone. Here's our Declaration of Independence. And so what do the Brits do? They send in troops,
right?
And then they provoke the violence. And that really is, look, the provoking of violence is what they want, because see, they want the takedown of America to be blamed on some type of civil war,
right?
That's why it's constant dividing. You know, it's divide and conquer, right? When you have all your troops in one area, like, you know, Chesty Puller said, we can fire in all directions.
Right, right.
We have them right where they want, right where we want them, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Surrounded. You know, so that's what drawing in and saying, look, we're going to at least, I mean, look, watch a movie 300, right? Mm. Why were the 300 successful? Why? Because they drew in, right? They created this dome of protection, and then they fought like hell when they were infringed on, right? This is basic warfare, and we have to identify that we're in a war,
right?
And those who think, well, President Trump's going to save us, they have not fully understood the nature of this war, right? President Trump is not in charge.
Hmm.
Eisenhower warned us that he wasn't in charge.
Right.
Kennedy was shown to be not in charge by having his head removed from his neck, right? So why do we keep believing that Hulk Hogan and Andre the Giant are fighting for the good of humanity and not acknowledging that the WWF is not real, right? I mean, in our lifetime, well, I don't know, you're probably much younger than I am, at least more handsome. in my lifetime, I'll say, the WWF, there used to be debates over whether it was real or not.
Right, right, like, right.
No, Hulk Hogan's really good and Andre the Giant is really bad, right? And then when that debate became ridiculous, right? Like,
yeah,
whether or not men can, you know, have babies or women have penises, right? Once it became so ridiculous, they just simply changed the name to WWE, blatantly acknowaging that, it was fake all along, guys. And now it's bigger than it was before. Why? Because humans want to be lied to.
Right.
They want to be fooled, right? It's easier to convince a man, or it's easier to fool a man than it is to convince him that he's been fooled. Why? Because that's the average human state of mind is trick me, please.
Right.
And that's where we are now. We see all these problems and we say, well, is this a good thing? Well, no, that's not good. But do you know this person did it? Oh, but I'm that person's fan. Like, I'm a Hulkamaniac, right? I'm never going to, you know, cheer for Coco Beware or, you know, Hacksaw Jim Duggan or, you know, Randy Macho Man Savage. Oh,
right. Well, but, you know, obviously there are some, I mean, hell, you're sitting next to me and not in jail, right? That was a positive outcome from Trump's election. So, like, if nothing else, this at least gives us some breathing room where we're not being actively destroyed for these 2 years before the midterms, right? These 4 years that Trump's in office, he might not be the guy fixing things, but he has given us breathing room. He has let people like yourself out of prison. So, like, what do we need to do in these next couple of years, this next, you know, 3.5 years to, you know, make it worth it? Even outside of whatever Trump's doing, obviously we need to, like, make sure that he's not setting the stage for, you know, deploying American troops against us, you know, in the future, which it does seem like that's the precedent being set right now, which I'm worried about. But what do we need to do? Because I get the WWE metaphor. I think you're exactly right on that. But at the same time, there's something real in, like, he is doing some real things, right? I mean, he let you guys out of prison. He seems to be doing what he can to stop the war in Ukraine. Obviously, he's not the solution, but he's at least given us some breathing room. So what do we need to do now in this moment of where we're not being constricted? What do we need to do to make sure when the constriction happens again, we're prepared for it?
Well, I want to address that, because that is something that comes up very often is, hey, Trump let you out of jail.
Right.
Okay? And probably one of the reasons why I'm not, you know, people might not consider themselves the biggest Jeremy Brown fans within the J6 community, which is that I don't accept that as the appropriate response.
Hmm.
I should have been let out of jail because I should have never been framed by the government who should have never planned a false flag operation against the American people.
Right.
Right? The problem that we're told has been solved by just simply letting us out of jail is not the actual problem.
Right.
The actual problem is, why the hell were we in jail to begin with? Right. So again, this is incremental acceptance, right? If we throw you in jail, Harrison, for 3 years, and you're like, wait, why are you throwing me in jail? And then 3 years later, we let you out.
You a problem solved. Yeah.
You don't go, thank goodness, the government, which threw me in jail, has now let me out, right? And this is why we have to separate the fact that the U.S. government is not run by one man.
Right.
One, they didn't want to let me out. They tried not to. February 26th, 37 days after I was supposed to be left out. So we need to solve the actual problem. Just like military troops in Chicago is not the actual appropriate solution. The appropriate solution is arrest those that are depriving the citizens of Chicago of their right to life, liberty, right, and property. Okay. And so we can't take these half measured solutions and say, well, that's good enough. And I also point out this. Someone can do 10 great things for you, right? And you'll be like, man, they're really a great person. But if the last one is they knock on your door and when you open it, they shoot you in the head, were they good people?
Right.
And my question is, why? Look, January 6th aside, right? I have family members that were affected by the COVID vaccine.
Right.
Okay. We all, the science, which is nothing more than a method to, you know, flush out hypothesis, right? Yeah. It's not a thing, right?
Yeah. There's
the thing is, go get the science out of the cabin, right? No, it is a process. It is a method of arriving at conclusions or at least observations, right? So the actual science where we look at data and we say, oh, gee whiz, all of these things that never happened before all seem to be happening really fast all the time everywhere. And it all started at this particular time frame. Well, gee whiz, what happened during that time frame? So all of that is in. Mm. I mean, you can find, if you look for the truth, you'll find it, right? You can find that information. And so why are we just moving on? Why are we just pretending like it didn't happen, right? Because we got a tax cut, right? When the IRIS system, you know, the inmate recognition, you know, whatever system that ICE is using to right now deport, you know, the bad guys, right? The illegals. Well, are they just going to decommission it?
Right.
No, they're going to turn it on us and then they're going to say, well, you guys approved all this, right? So we have to keep, you know, these powers at bay by not participating in their ridiculous things, right? I mean, when I was deployed to Bolivia with 7th Special Forces Group, you know, they would always be in the streets sitting, blocking the traffic circles whenever there was something that didn't happen, right? Mm. And it works. Why? Because the neo-feudal system relies on, you know, the serfs.
Right.
It relies on the peasants to run for now.
Mm.
But yet they're ushering in our replacement as quickly as possible.
Right.
Right. Hey, if too many people are making it hard for us to cheat on our elections, well, then we need to replace them with illegals. Well, eventually we're going to be replaced by robots. And they tell us all day long, every day, in white papers, on websites, and
they're not shy about it.
They're just like, we're not ready yet.
Yeah.
So keep going. But I suspect that they'll be ready in 10 years. Why? Because that's the exact amount of time that the federal government has asked that the local governments not try to regulate their takeover of humanity. Right.
Right.
And so until we start to address these larger problems and stop focusing on these other little things that are really just meant for distractions, right?
Right.
And it goes back to the whole systems that we know exist, these child sex trafficking systems and these pedophilia blackmail rings, right? When we say, oh, well, that's a hoax, or we don't want to re-victimize the people, you're acknowledging that you've abolished a problem, but that we know that that's not the case, right? Well,
and so it seems like I had a tweet about that because it's the same with COVID. It's the same with all this stuff. The only way to defeat problem reaction solution is to go back and punish the original, instigators of the problem. Because again, the only thing false about false flags are the flags, right? The attack is real.
Right.
So when it comes to COVID, it's like, yeah, they created a virus in a lab and released it on purpose. you gotta protect yourself from the virus. You can't just go, yeah, but they created that. That was on purpose. It's like, all right, you're still going to get sick from it. So, okay. So you got to do something to deal with the attack, whether it's the virus that they released or the just stealing of the election. You can't just ignore the attack because you know that the solution is what they want. So you got to implement the solution at least to survive the attack. But then you got to go back and go, okay, where did the attack come from? Who did this? Why did they do it? How do we stop them from doing it again? And only by going back and going, okay, the problem was the virus. The solution they offered was the vaccine, or the reaction was the fear and the lockdown. The solution was the vaccine. So now that we're over that, go back to the beginning and go, okay, who implemented this? And then who provided the, you know, so-called solution? Only by going back and getting justice for the original attack are you going to be able to avoid it in the future. Otherwise, you're just, you know, what they do is they provide the so-called solution and then they just want to move on really quickly and forget everything that happened before.
And we can't even acknowledge, because President Trump, to this day, I mean, I've seen clips.
Yeah, still.
Since he was elected in this term, is still acknowledging. And maybe, look, here's the thing. I look at people in three categories. Good guys, bad guys, and I don't know yet.
Right.
So if you're saying that, well, warp speed was the most amazing thing that we've ever done. It was the most efficient thing. It was like, if you're raving about it still, at what point do we say, maybe he's telling the truth?
Right.
Maybe it was the most amazing thing and the most efficient way to destroy us all, right? We have to start calling out the larger problems and not being satisfied with the 10 tasks that they do that are great right before they shoot us in the head.
Right.
And the reality is, at some point, we might just have to actually resist and say, I'm not going to work today. I'm not going to pay my taxes this April. I'm not going to donate any more money to your fake political parties, and stop participating in the matrix, right? So that the matrix collapses. We know that this is effective in business because look at how quickly Bud Light, Anheuser-Busch, which isn't even American owned anymore, right? Look at how quickly they reacted to the whole, hey, I am a woman, but I have a penis and I drink Bud Light. Well, guess what? All the men that had penises all said, well, I don't want to drink the same beer as that person that clearly has mental issues and should receive some compassionate care. Right. So it worked against Bud Light. Look at what's happened to Target, right?
Mm-hmm.
I listen to the propaganda financial news networks, right? That all say, oh, Target can't find itself as a company. It doesn't know if it wants to DEI or it wants to not. Well, no, it's not trying to find itself as a company. It's trying to say, crap, we're losing too much money trying to implement the things that we've been told to implement, right? Because either you believe there's a small group of people running the world and they want to kill most of us, or you don't.
Right.
Right. If you believe that,
everything makes sense.
You can't possibly believe that some way down person like the president of one of the 200 plus countries in the world, right, that only has 4% of the world's population is going to somehow correct this whole grand system.
Yeah.
No, then you have to start looking at, are we being incrementally led to the slaughter by one little piece at a time and given justifications like, oh yeah, but look, we got the biggest tax cut ever. Well, what good is that going to do when the AI that doesn't miss robot dog comes to your door and says, you've been already tried, sentenced to death. We're here to collect that sentence, right? I mean, we can't allow the worst things to be allowed simply because little penny ante things were beneficial to us in the short term.
Yeah.
Right. Because at the end of the day, if we're having stuff pushed on us that we are not allowed to refuse because they have all the power that we've allowed them to acquire, well, then it's going to be nothing but our fault.
Yeah, and man, you're just making a case for sort of, I don't know how to put it without it sounding not good, but like, there's a reason we have these principles and you just have to stick to them. And just, even if it's like, well, but it's so, you know, crime's so bad, I guess I'll let them in, you know, do this one thing. It's like, you got to have a hard line, just know this is what America stands for, this is what the Constitution says, and we're not bending in the slightest. And that seems to be the only way out of this. JeremyBrownDefense.com. Who is JeremyBrown.com? Thank you so much for being here with us.
Ladies and gentlemen, every guest we've had in studio that we've given ultramethylene blue or super medical grade to, within 30 minutes has felt enlightenment, energy, clarity, like a fog lifts. Their stamina, their libido, their workouts are better. Long term, it just gets better and better. We have the best in capsules and liquid at thealexjonesstore.com. And if you will just research, look up methylene blue and eyesight, methylene blue and Alzheimer's, methylene blue and cardiovascular health, methylene blue and energy, methylene blue and memory. Not even looking today, I ran into this. Is methylene blue the secret weapon for fighting Alzheimer's and keeping your brain young? And they got Dr. Peter McCullough, very respected with all these other scientists, saying, oh, yes, it's incredible. Yeah, it is. So we have Labor Day weekend sale, continues through tomorrow, so let's listen, 48 hours. All the customers get an additional, there's already discounts, 25% off on all supplements on the site. You only have till tomorrow night at midnight central. Yesterday's top five sellers, methylene blue, methylene blue caps, Life Force, the spike protein cardiovascular detox, colostrum, we have the very best concentrated bovine colostrum, ultramethylene blue, Shilajit caps, all sorts of great deals at thealexjonesstore.com. Even if they shut this place down, they don't get thealexjonesstore.com. They don't get the Alex Jones Network. I don't own it. I don't own the equipment. I don't own the shopping cart. And so they can piss up a rope. They can harass me all day, appoint state receivers to come get money I don't have. I don't care because I have a great family and great crew and great audience of activists. And I've never been a high roller and just I'm happier than a pig and you know what. So thank you so much for your support. TheAlexJonesStore.com.